Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
81 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Michigan fired head football coach Sherrone Moore Wednesday afternoon due to an inappropriate relationship with a Michigan staffer. Shortly after the announcement, Moore was wanted by police in Michigan for an alleged assault in Ann Arbor. The 39-year-old Moore was arrested last night and held overnight by authorities in what's being reported as protective mental health custody. To the football side of things, the Wolverines are in Citrus Bowl preparations. They'll play Texas on New Year's Eve. Associate head coach Biff Pogge will serve as interim for that game. New NCAA rules won't allow players at Michigan to enter the transfer portal until 5 days after the school hires a new head coach or the new winter portal opens on January 2nd. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets are back on home ice Thursday, hosting the Ottawa Senators at 7 o'clock. You can hear that game on The Fan with coverage at 6:30. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Enjoy rates lower than the national average, plus a special rate on balance transfers with a Visa Platinum or Visa with Rewards credit card.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do a live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Mr. Feinbaum going to drop by as 10:30, a little bit of Shelley time coming up at 11:30. We will attempt to beat the house coming up at 11 o'clock on the NFL side of things. We will open up the mailbag at 10 o'clock. From 2004 to 2020, Michigan beat Ohio State in football once. One time. 04 to 20. That's it. That's the list. When you have a losing streak like that, it causes desperation. And not that they didn't try. From Lloyd Carr to Rich Rodriguez to Brady Hoke, and then eventually they landed the guy that was going to fix all of it, and that was Jim Harbaugh. And Jim Harbaugh did fix it. He fixed it immediately. They went from kind of an also-ran to a true contender almost immediately in his tenure. The 2016 game probably damn near broke him on the JT Barrett. I mean, everyone can remember this, where he was talking about how he came up short. And with that, with the losses continuing to stack, Harbaugh and his program, I think it's fair to say, got very desperate and started to bend the rules on what was acceptable for a program to do. And in a deliberate, known, documented way, the program cheated with Connor Stallions in as big a way as was possible. So much so that in the year that they did win the national championship, Jim Harbaugh was suspended for half of the season. But it did work. They started to win again, and they got their mojo back, and they got some juice in the program, and it inevitably ended and culminated with them having a perfect season and winning a national championship. And as I said at the time when he left, Jim Harbaugh, unfortunately for those around here, was Danny Ocean. He robbed the Bellagio, the MGM Grand, and Caesars all at the same time and got away with all of it. And somehow ended up with Julia Roberts, too. All of those things happened. In the fallout of that, though, the program was left in ruin. Show cause penalties for Harbaugh. Again, nothing that was ever going to concern him because, of course, he was never going back to coach college football. But restrictions on the program. Was the pound of flesh ever enough for those people down here? Probably not. I think folks wanted banners gone. They wanted national championships gone. They wanted all of it. But the perception for those of us down here was, if there was more smoke to be to be sniffed out at Michigan, that the person that it was going to fall at the feet of was going to be Sharon Moore. Because that was not a job that was very coveted out of Harbaugh. Now, I think they probably hired Moore for two reasons. Number one, he appointed himself quite well in Harbaugh's absence. I think they really liked his impassioned plea in tears after they beat Penn State when Harbaugh was suspended. I think that the players liked him. And I think he probably related to players. But I also think the other factor in here was, if there ever needs to be someone to fall, we've got him. And that's the perception that I had of this situation. What happened yesterday, what came to light, I should say, yesterday, is something else entirely. Now, the allegations, and I'm going to go through the exact timeline of this as I understand it in just a second. Probably maybe a month ago, a couple weeks in advance of the Ohio State-Michigan game this year, talking to some folks up there, I started to hear whispers about exactly what was alleged and eventually apparently proven here by the University of Michigan and their outside investigators, that there was some shady dealings behind the scene with Sharon Moore. In this day and age, it is very difficult to prove truth from nonsense. It's hard to find it because there's so much out there. There's so much nonsense. It is so easy to fake things. But there have been whispers of this around the Michigan program for a while, and certainly around Sharon Moore and this specific allegation. So fast forward to yesterday, exactly a week after National Signing Day, where Michigan had a exceptional class. And there's a lot of layers here to this, and this is going to take big boy ears to and girl ears to kind of understand all of this, because there are really two separate, you know, parallel paths that are playing out here. The football side of it, and then the Sharon Moore personal side of it, which is, quite honestly, somehow they apparently avoided a near tragedy yesterday. But from a football perspective, and this is where true blue great reporting comes in. And so when I look for things on this, on what happens, I look for our friends Angelique Chingalis and John U. Bacon, and I want to know what they are reporting and what they know. Now, John's a novelist. He's not necessarily a reporter, but he is also, in my opinion, the foremost authority of what is going on at Michigan. Angelique Chingalis is one of the best reporters you're ever going to find. And we have calls out to both of them. As you can imagine, they're very busy. If they are able to come on, we will make time, and we will make sure that they get they come on the program. We're able to discuss this. So yesterday, Michigan fired Sharon Moore in the afternoon. This goes now into the timeline part of it. The statement from Ward Manuel: UM head football coach Sharon Moore has been terminated with cause effective immediately. Following a university investigation, credible evidence was found that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. This conduct constitutes a clear violation of university policy, and UM maintains zero tolerance for such behavior. Biff Pogge, as Reese mentioned in the update, is going to be the interim head coach. Now, this is the part where you need the reporting, and this is where Angelique comes in. A staff member told Angelique that they informed Michigan, according to one of her sources, a source that was briefed on the matter but not authorized to speak on the record. But again, this is Angelique Chingalis' reporting in the Detroit News. Michigan conducted an internal investigation. Now, I don't know the timeline on this, and the reporting doesn't suggest when the timeline on this is either, but that Michigan, my hunch is, if it's university-related, it's going to go back a while. Michigan conducted an internal investigation that did not reveal evidence of an inappropriate relationship. But the source tells Chingalis that there was enough smoke to prompt the University of Michigan Board of Regents to hire an outside firm to conduct an external investigation. That investigation began earlier this week with evidence Manuel fired Moore. So, smoke, internal investigation, no proof. External investigation hired by the Regents, proof. That started this week, according to her reporting. He was fired yesterday. Then, now we get into the personal side of this with Sharon Moore, and this is where, quite honestly, this just gets really sad in a hurry. Yesterday afternoon, after Sharon Moore was fired at the University of Michigan, the timeline of this gets a little skewy, but Pittsfield Townfield Pittsfield Township Police investigation began around 4:10 p.m. yesterday. Michigan publicly fired Moore at 4:43. Moore was taken into custody and was booked in jail around 11 o'clock Wednesday night. He was booked at 8:30, according to court records, and he spent the time in jail. The allegations around the, for lack of a better term, manhunt for Sherrone Moore, some of the reporting that's out there in terms of harm that he was attempting to do himself or others, there's an assault involved here. There are a lot of layers to this. And those layers, the ones that I'm just talking about, are incredibly sad because this is a human being's life that is now in shambles, absolute shambles. In a sport where I thought that I'd seen it all, this is another one. And so you feel like you've seen everything. This is something else entirely. And there's a lot of layers to do it, and we're gonna get to all of it. And where does Michigan go from here? The Moore part of it is incredibly sad. He's married, has three young girls. And so his life in terms of his public life and in terms of the life that he had curated and built is very clearly over in that sense. And hopefully he can get the help that he needs and mentally can get to a point where he can face what he has done. But the layers to this are unlike anything we've seen, fellas. When did you become aware of it, and what are some of your early thoughts as all of this transpired yesterday?
So this happens 4:45, closer to 5 o'clock. And you, as I'm sure all of you do, are on message boards, look at Twitter, are on Reddit to see what fan bases are saying before, during, and after games. And so this is a couple of months. You know, like November, early November, I want to say, is when people are starting to tag that independent investigation from an outside firm. But the idea, and so they fire him a week after National Signing Day. And so instantly I go, okay, so there's fire there now. It's not just smoke, because you don't do this a week after you sign the 11th ranked recruiting class, after you get one of the best players in the country to sign for you, saying you're going to build the foundation for the future. You just don't do that unless he did something that was a clear violation. And then there's so much out there that's hearsay and that stuff that you don't want to believe that a person did because of what that person represents to such a large community and their family, which includes a wife and three kids. And now all of that's just thrown. And then the assault, or the alleged assault, and kind of how all of that shook out, where now he's in protective mental health custody. Mm-hmm. And so on the personal side, you feel so bad for his wife and kids. And you hope the best for that family in that situation. Then you turn kind of angrily towards the university that said you allowed this to be, you tried to sweep this under the rug. You allowed this to permeate beneath a National Signing Day celebration where you lied to almost 20 families about a future at Michigan that was, there was no way you could continue, especially if the person he had the alleged affair with was a member of the staff that was promoted. You give a 55% raise to a staffer with all of this surrounding you, it goes to the athletic director and say, how does he still have a job?
Mm-hmm. Well, he might not.
He shouldn't.
Yeah.
You need to wash yourself of all of this Jim Harbaugh era.
Hey, Reese, by the way, they don't have a president right now either at Michigan.
He's in Florida.
We tried.
Well, they
got rid of him.
They
didn't want him.
The whole thing stinks of Jim Harbaugh and the era that he had at Michigan, and it all needs to be cleaned.
I don't like the phrase, and we use it around here a lot. I don't like the phrase, Ohio State broke them. Ohio State broke them. Ohio State did break Michigan because it broke Harbaugh. And Harbaugh went to a at-whatever-cost attitude within the football program. I had a buddy send me a text about Jim Knowles going to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I saw that probably around 4:30 yesterday. And then, so I was looking into that, and then all of this Sherrone Moore stuff started breaking. And then I'm in the car last night, and I'm driving, listening to Austin and Beam on the Buckeye Show. Mm-hmm. And they have Berm on the second segment. And at the end of his segment, he's like, oh, yeah, it looks like Sherrone Moore's been arrested. And you're like, what in the hell is going on here? And the first thing I thought was, the Michigan man always seems so uppity. Mm-hmm. And everybody is below us. Yet your whole house is in shambles.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And this is going to be a developing story as the day goes along. As I've mentioned many times, there are a billion layers to this. There's the on-field, there's the roster, there's the future coach, there is what happens punitively, the law issues with Sherrone Moore, his own self-health, which is in question as well. We will be on this all morning long. We're off and running on a Thursday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football on The Fan 2. Catch the Falcons and Bucks live from Tampa. Fan coverage starts Thursday night at 8 on 1460 AM and The Fan's HD2.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Your radio home of the NFL, The Fan.
With Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
And for Central Ohio, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens. Your latest forecast. We're looking at a little bit of light flurry activity, but that should end as the day continues. High temperatures making their way into the low 30s this afternoon. Snow chances return tonight and into Friday. Heaviest in southwestern Ohio, but look for some slick spots Friday morning. Temperatures still in the 30s. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm Meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. After putting up with Dom to Barry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Side of Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to earn rewards every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but at 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the United States. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Side of Downs, the excitement is nonstop, guys. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Microbrew. Or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the out-of-bounds 68-layer lasagna, and the energy just keeps building. Side of Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to town. So come, experience the action, the rewards, and the unforgettable moments waiting for you at Eldorado Side of Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. Visit Caesars.com/Side of Downs for details. There's a thousand different areas and angles that we can go with on this thing and in regard to what has happened. If you just joined us, or if you were living in a cave in Burma with Peterman, this is kind of where you stand on this thing. Sherrone Moore has been fired. He spent the night in jail in Ann Arbor or in the surrounding areas, a suburb of it. Certainly, he is under mental health care, so that is happening as well. According to reports, there's all sorts of salacious details on this, but one thing is confirmed, that he has been fired at Michigan for cause. From a football perspective, and I do think that there is, you lose the benefit of the doubt when you behave the way that you do amidst the Connor Stallions situation. And I do think it is fair for folks down here, and probably even some up there that can look themselves in the mirror, to say, boy, the timing of this is quite curious. And again, separating Moore's behavior after his firing from the process of his firing is what we're doing right now. And the thing that cannot be ignored, I don't think, is that this was looked into. Also, the other thing that's interesting about this, it was an anonymous tip that led to the initial internal investigation where, again, nothing was proven. And it wasn't until an external investigation, which according to Angelique Chingalis' reporting in the Detroit News, started this week, that they were able to get this kind of locked down and able to fire him with cause. From a football program perspective, and that's what we spend the majority of the time talking about here, I'm not really sure where you go from here. from a university perspective, they currently do not have a president. I think that might be the only thing that saves Ward Manuel in the interim, is that there's no, he technically doesn't have a boss. The Board of Regents are basically working as the presidents at the University of Michigan at the moment, and that might save him, that and Dusty May, quite honestly. But the reality is that this is a, and now in a situation where a National Signing Day class was signed last Wednesday, every player in that class would now be freed of their name, image, and, or of their national letter of intent, because the coaching change happened. Just go back to Saban at Alabama. That roster can now be poached. I mean, I've already seen folks from LSU tweeting at Bryce Underwood, come home, that type of stuff. Remember, he was committed there first. This will be an absolutely chaotic next month and a half up there.
I do think that in September, the NCAA changed the rules on when players and programs can enter the transfer portal. Like, the kids they signed in the class last week are still bound to their letter of intent, which feels really gross.
Even if there's a coaching change?
Even if there's a coaching change. Once Michigan hires their new head coach, 5 days after that hiring, a 15-day portal window opens for them. So they'll likely have two 15-day portal windows open in the next 30 to 45 days, because you've got the new portal that's opening on January 2nd, and then this portal that was created back in September, this portal opportunity, I should say, ratified back in September by the NCAA, that says 5 days after a new coach comes in, they can portal. Now, will any of this hold up? Probably not. So my guess is Michigan players can scramble and do as they please with this, as long as they have proper legal representation. But it's really gross with what Michigan did to these kids, not only the commitments, but the players that will be returning, thinking we're going to have a Cheez-It Bowl, we're going to get better in bowl preparation for that, we're going to play Texas, and then we'll move on to next year. And then now they've got complete uncertainty and chaos in their lives.
So one thing that's really interesting, by the way, I love that they did that in September, that they changed the rule on that, like almost like in the cover of night they did it. Because, of course, so the only real distinction, though, is that instead of a 30-day transfer window, it's 15, right? Do I have that right, Reese?
Correct.
To your understanding as well? So instead of a 30-day portal transfer for the new class, it'll be 15 days. But the reality is that as soon, and this is the ugly underbelly of the sport, I mean, this, I am empathetic to not the decision Sherrone Moore made at all, because that goes without saying. But I will say this. These players now, my hunch is at 4 o'clock yesterday, they were already being contacted.
Probably before that.
Well, I was going to say, if you believe what's going on and that they've known about this for quite some time, it could have been happening already. Now, who knows how far wide that was that it got out, but it sounds like this was kind of well known up on the Michigan campus, that something was coming, that they had already had talks about who a new head coach could be and all of those things. So, I mean, there's some people saying this has been known for 2 months up there.
Well, and I told you, I'd heard whispers about this going back to in advance of the Ohio State-Michigan game, that there was some of this. The only thing I will say is, according to folks I've talked to, there was no thinking that necessarily this would be something that would happen. Because I did see Josh Pate saying this last night, that he had heard from agents that the Michigan job was going to come open. I hadn't heard anything like that. I had heard that, and I mentioned this, you guys remember this, last week when I said, I think Sherrone Moore's got the hottest seat in all of college football.
I wonder if he beats Ohio State, and they make the Big Ten championship game, and they make the college football playoff, if this even happens.
No,
I don't think so.
Like, Sherrone Moore still got a job today, despite everything that Michigan apparently has in front of them.
Oh, no. I think if he beats Ohio State, then you find a way to cover all this up.
I think this is going to be,
I mean, guys, real quick, just for clarity, they sought an external investigation after their initial investigation proved up nothing other than some smoke.
I think this is going to be so interesting to when all of the details come out, if they come out, and who they hire. Like, if Kalen DeBoer gets this Michigan job, which some people are rumoring that he might be their first choice, was he going to go to Penn State? And then Michigan said, hey, hold on a second. Don't do that. There might be something for you here. Like, it's just, it's going to be fascinating when all of this comes to light and we have a new head coach up there and some finality to this, just exactly how many things maybe this affected.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into that next in terms of from a football perspective, what is expected next there? Who are some of the favorites? Of course, there's already betting odds on it. Who are the favorites to be the next head coach at Michigan? We'll get into all of that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday edition of the program. Michigan yesterday fires head coach Sherrone Moore with cause. From a football perspective, what happens now? Well, the timeline of that is pretty interesting in terms of where they potentially could go. Who are some of the names that you could hear? They are scheduled to play in a bowl game against the University of Texas. I don't know if that's still on. I don't know if players...
Oh, Biff will make it happen.
Your boy Biff.
Our guy.
Biff Pogge is your interim head coach.
He has a chance to be 3-0 as Michigan's interim.
That's right, because he was earlier this year. God, how many interim coaches have they had the last couple of years? Every time.
This is the funny part with all of this, because Michigan football has had interims upon interims, and I think Sherrone still got a one-game suspension to serve sometime.
Next year?
Yeah.
The opener.
Yeah. So, who knows what happens with that bowl game? Now, in terms of their roster, as we mentioned, once a permanent head coach is hired, there's a 15-day portal window that will open that will allow this entire class, 26 incoming players, to transfer. The NCAA now also has a universal transfer window from January 2nd through the 16th for all players and schools not participating in the college football playoff semifinals, which this upcoming January could include Michigan players. And obviously they have some really nice players on their roster, including Bryce Underwood, who's the number one player in the country a year ago. Now he's got a contract, I would assume, of some sort on the deal that he got to sign there coming out of high school. The Kalen DeBoer thing is interesting to me because his name was bandied about at Penn State. And I'm trying to wrap my head around how any coach who is in the playoff could take this job. I'm trying to wrap my head around how any coach of any sort of legitimate standing would sign up for a job without a president. Who are you working for? I mean, Michigan's a great job. It's a better job than Penn State. It's probably, I think it's the second best job in the North behind Ohio State, just ahead of Notre Dame. I'm sure there you could argue back and forth one another between Notre Dame and Michigan, but that it's those two, and I would have Michigan second to Ohio State. So it's that good of a job. It is a Cadillac job. They just won the national title 2 years ago. Go ahead, Reese.
Well, this from Hunter on Twitter. Imagine if Michigan just does the right thing and fires him a week ago before signing day. They might have landed Matt Campbell.
Well, he would have preferred that.
Right? Because it did feel that if Matt Campbell was going to go anywhere outside of Ames, it was going to be to Ann Arbor. Like, he was connected to that job a couple of times.
He was, yeah. Now, I don't know if he would have been a fit for them or if that's something that they would have wanted. Who the heck knows? But you're right, they absolutely could have. Or Hunter's right, rather. They absolutely could have done that. I tend to think that there is no way that they pull a trigger on this yesterday the way that they did without knowing who they're going to hire. Or at the very least, having a very short list. Jesse Minter is mentioned. He's the defensive coordinator with the Los Angeles Chargers. He's still there. Joe Brady is mentioned as well. I'm not sure what the connection is with him at the University of Michigan. One of you guys made the point earlier about do they need to get completely away from the Harbaugh tree? My hunch is the answer to that is yes, that they probably do, and they need almost a complete reset. And I think if they're looking for a way to where you can hire somebody that may not have any connection and it works in very big way, just look no further than their basketball program where Dusty May's in year two, and he's got a team that appears that can win a national title.
Yeah, if Dusty May's got to put his players in a silo. almost.
Yeah.
Like, so they're the number one team in the country, the probably the best team in the Big Ten, which is probably the best conference in the country. And it's like, you'll have all of this swirling around you because just with the time of the year that this is happening, you know, Michigan football, it has forever had the, like, the magnifying glass on it because they've been so nationally relevant. And I just can't imagine going anywhere on that campus today. And that's another thing to the Harbaugh situation. It feels every offseason there's something major since he's taken that job that has happened with that program. I mean, the FBI's raided Schembechler Hall. Sharon's got phones that have been seized. Like, this is all just pointing to Ward Manuel is why are you, and I think the board needs to step in and do the right thing and dismiss him. Because I think then and only then can you really get a handle on this. Because now all we have are questions about what else aren't they telling us? What else are they trying to sweep under the rug? Because if it's something that is big as an extramarital affair with a staffer, and that's what you're trying to sweep under the rug, like, what else? Where are other skeletons?
And also it's, and I understand, like, it's in a university policy and whatnot, but this guy has an extramarital affair with a staffer, you're gone immediately. But you guys are literally this elaborate scheme to affect games on the field, and that's okay. We're not going to get rid of anybody. We're actually going to keep as many of you as we can. But this one, right after you lose to Ohio State for the first time in 4 years, you're gone immediately. No tolerance, zero tolerance for this.
Yeah, I mean, this is Bobby Petrino. The only difference is you don't have a motorcycle, you don't have a press conference with a neck brace. But, I mean, that's what happened here. That's what Petrino was doing. He was doing the same thing at Arkansas and was bounced. And the timing of all of it, there needs to be answers to it. My hunch is Ward Manuel will have a press conference at some point and answer some of those questions. But, again, there's no university president up there. We mentioned Kalen DeBoer. His name has come up a lot. It came up a lot around Penn State. We had Rich Scarsella of the Reading Eagle on yesterday talking about the Penn State search, and he really believed that if DeBoer had lost the Auburn game, that there was a chance that Kalen DeBoer would have taken the Penn State job. So there's enough smoke around DeBoer for you to give it legitimate thought. And Greg McElroy had some comments via a show that he does called Mac and Cube, McElroy and Cube in the mornings, that he does down in Birmingham. His quote on it is as follows in regard to DeBoer. If he goes, I'd be disappointed because I don't think you can get better than him. I really don't. I'd be very disappointed as an Alabama fan if he left. It'd be crushing, frankly, because I think you're going to go down with whoever you bring in next. That's a former national champion quarterback at Alabama. Those are not the words of somebody that doesn't think that this is a legitimate shot.
The DeBoer thing's interesting because it feels like everybody else wants him to not be a head coach at Alabama, despite him being the head coach at Alabama in a college football playoff. John Ubakin just posted something I thought was really important to share on the Sharon Moore side of this. UM conducted an internal investigation, interviewing both Moore and the employee, he presumes separately, over the summer. Both said that there was no way anything was happening between them, he says, which didn't give Michigan anything to go on. Her account flipped yesterday morning.
Well, then the natural thing, if we're lucky enough to get John on, and again, I've reached out to him, I'm attempting to, I think the logical next step there would be, well, what caused her account to flip? Like, what caused that change?
And they can't be so stupid. I mean, it's Michigan, so they can't be dumb enough to just go off of those two. Because if you're with any football program, if there's a high-level staffer and the head coach involved in something, more people probably know about it because you're human, and humans are pretty dumb for the most part.
Well, like I said, there's all sorts of whispers around this for a long time, too, at least going back a month or so. But yeah, the fact that the internal investigation was into the summer, according to John, and John knows, and the idea being that it wasn't until yesterday that she absolutely flipped is certainly noteworthy. The fact that they went to an outside investigation this week, the timing of that is within question. If there was internal investigation that happened in the summer, why wouldn't you get right back on that? And if you didn't believe it, if there was enough smoke, if you believe the Angelique Chingalis reporting that they looked into it and there was enough smoke to hire an outside investigator, why did that all change last week? That I think those are all very, very fair questions. The one thing, just to put a ribbon on the DeBoer conversation, there's too much smoke around him down there looking at and feeling out other jobs. It's one of two things. He's either legitimately interested or he wants the folks at Alabama to be appreciative of him as the guy who's trying to follow Saban. And he's probably sick of being held to the Saban standard. And he says, look, if you guys don't want me, other blue blood programs do.
The thing that Reeser just said from John U. Bacon goes back to the point that a lot of us have said, and I have been steadfast in, and I even tweeted this last night. Moore was always the fall guy for all of this. He was never a Michigan man. He was never one of theirs. He was always the guy that in the end was going to take the fall for everything. Michigan had probably known about this relationship since he was hired. And they always would have this in their back pocket for whenever they wanted to use it. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Ohio State and they used it. They didn't make the college football playoff. They used their trump card and got him. And he was always going to be the fall guy in all of this.
I think it's fair to think that way. And I think because you can't trust really anything that comes out of there based on the way they've handled all of this. And when you start to do the timeline of this, it's very logical to just say, did they just wait until it was time? You know, and did they just wait until it was the right time for him to be gone? And I think all of that is fair. The DeBoer stuff is very interesting, and I think where they go with their roster is very interesting. We'll revisit this, and as new information presents itself, we'll continue to keep you posted on it. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Back and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekdays starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Just a normal Thursday in college football, kids. That's where we're at. Is there any coach that Michigan could hire that would give you pause for concern? Or is there any scenario where this thing doesn't end in what catastrophic in terms of their roster, in terms of their football program, and all of it? DeBoer, I like the way he goes about his business. You don't know what a guy's why is, and I think he'd be formidable. They just signed a great recruiting class at Michigan, so I think all of those things kind of track in terms, or I'm sorry, at Alabama. I think all of those things are pretty interesting. There really is a couple parallel paths they're working here. Number one, how do they keep the roster they currently have intact? Number two, how do they keep that recruiting class from leaving, which is a very nice recruiting class? And then number three, how do they hire somebody who can fit all of the ideals that they're looking for and dig out of a absolute cesspool of a mess? I mean, who's signing up for that? I mean, I even wondered, like, is this something where they call on Charles Woodson or somebody like that? Like somebody who is a dye-in-the-wool Michigan man to come in and try to stabilize. But I don't know who, on an interim basis. And I'm not talking about just playing Texas in a bowl game. I'm talking about to just get them through the next 6 months.
I wonder if you go to, first off, you're going to whoever's cutting checks. And I wonder to Larry Ellison or to his partner, whoever gave him the motivation to give Bryce Underwood the $10.5 million NIL deal. Do you kind of involve all of them in this process? Because they're the ones that are going to be financing a lot of this. Now, you won't have to pay Sharon Moore a buyout, but head coaches are expensive. And if you want a top man for Michigan, it's going to cost you money. I thought I saw Brian Kelly's name bandied about, and I said that could be the worst possible move that they could make off of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think about your point about Woodson, but I think a true blue, no pun intended, Michigan man there might help steady the ship and galvanize the donor base into saying, okay, that was really bad, but we're all in this together, mm-hmm. so we're going to move forward with a Michigan man. Like, yeah. It's all been silly. Now it makes a little bit more sense, more than I think so ever.
I think Kalen DeBoer would be one that would give some pause to me because I still think he's a really good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may take him a little while to dig out of this, but he's a guy, regardless of whether he's meeting Alabama standards or not, and we've talked about this a lot, he's never won less than 9 games in a full season he's coached anywhere he's coached.
Yeah.
Never less than 9 games. So I think Kalen DeBoer is a really good coach, and I think Alabama would be crazy to let him go. I wonder if there was too much damage done to the relationship between them and Mike Hart, if maybe Mike Hart would want to return and be the guy. I know he wanted the job when Harbaugh left and was on staff there, so I wonder if he's someone. You mentioned Brian Kelly, Reese. Somebody said he's a name that's been floating around those offices for the last week or so. And if they did that, I think I would just laugh at that. I also heard someone that I know that has some ties to the Michigan program said Kenny Dillingham might be their first choice. And Kenny Dillingham is an interesting name. I don't know if he screams Michigan to me, but he's someone that might give you a little pause too, I think, with what he's done at Arizona State and his brashness, and he could make the rivalry fun.
He's an Arizona native. He played at Chaparral High School in the Phoenix area. He played at he's an Arizona State alumnus. So he's as true and blue as he can in terms of the Sun Devils. I don't see anything in his past that he was at Auburn. He was the offensive coordinator at Auburn for a little stretch, Florida State. So he's at least been east of the Mississippi a little bit. Yeah, the one thing that I think is most interesting about this, just from a big picture college football side of it, is clearly one of two things are happening with DeBoer. Either he wants the hell out of there, which is very likely, or he wants them to appreciate him more. One or the two. And I can't imagine, from his perspective, folks, think about this. Can you imagine doing that job? Tuscaloosa is a small town. Doing that job in the shadow of Saban, where he goes to your games, he talks about your games on College Game Day, him and Miss Terry go to basketball games at the University of Alabama, like it's their social life. When Bobby Bowden left Florida State and retired, he moved his family to Birmingham. Him and Ann moved to Birmingham and moved out of Tallahassee just to give Jimbo Fisher some room to breathe. Saban has not done that. In fact, DeBoer has to deal with Saban at every turn. And I'm sure Saban's trying to be helpful because I think he wants Alabama to be good. But it's something you got to deal with. And the pressure of that, I can't even imagine. I mean, he's had two great seasons there with rosters that were, one, picked over largely by us. And then a second year this year where they just don't have the overall depth. They played a brutal schedule. He still gets into the playoff. They're not happy because he gets blanked by Georgia in the SEC title game. And if they don't win a national title, they think that, which is what they think they're entitled to. And he's going, man, I'm winning at a pretty good clip here. I'm signing folks. And by the way, Alabama doesn't have A&M money. Now, quite frankly, they don't have Michigan money. So he's doing all of that. So it's one of two things. Either he wants out, and I could understand it, or he wants them to appreciate him more. But the fact that his name is out there as prominently as it was at Penn State, and now with this job, there's enough smoke there that it's one of the two.
I'm guessing he doesn't love the way he's been treated by some of the fans down there. You know, people saying, we'll pay the $77 million if I win the lottery to run him out of here and all of that. One name I heard last night, too, was Jed Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that Jed Fish's family hates Seattle, and they have not even moved there to be with him, and that Jed Fish would run to Michigan if they gave him the call and he would leave Washington.
Yeah.
I also wonder, there's a guy that's coached a lot of college football before that's out there right now, and I feel like his system, his offensive system that he's ran in the past would fit Bryce Underwood really well. I wonder if they might look at Chip Kelly. And would he do that?
He would not.
To Ryan. I don't think so.
No, I don't think he would.
I think he would love coaching Underwood.
Yeah, and I don't think he wants to deal with all that comes with being a head coach in college football. I think that's why he left UCLA. But I thought you were going to go a different way there, and this is the one that I thought of immediately when this came yesterday, was Lincoln Riley. That's the one I thought of right away because, you know, they're not incredibly appreciative of him down there. He has not lived up to the expectations that I think they thought when they gave him all the money in the house and all of those things. But they just signed the number one recruiting class in the country at USC. Like, how do you walk from that to walk into this mess? It seems like he's finally kind of aligned at USC. I don't know that Jed Fish is a Florida alum, isn't he? I'm pretty sure he's a UF guy, is his background. So, I mean, what of those would make the Michigan man excited? Are they in a position now where, though, almost anybody they get, they just kind of have to make it work? Like, they'll swing for the fences, I'm sure, on this. But jumping into that thing, that's Amazon. That is piranha-infested waters without any way to fight back. It is a mess. We'll continue to document this. We'll open up the mailbag. Mr. Feinbaum coming up in 35 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Sharone Moore was fired by Michigan Wednesday afternoon, then arrested Wednesday night after an alleged assault near Ann Arbor. The 39-year-old Moore is of last reporting in protective mental health custody. Moore's dismissal from Michigan stems from an alleged extramarital relationship with a football staff member. The Wolverines are set to play Texas in the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Eve. Associate head coach Biff Poggi will serve as interim for that game. Along with the 15-day winter transfer portal window, current Michigan players and members of their 26 recruiting class will have a 15-day portal window that opens 5 days after a new head coach is hired. Angelique Chingalis of the Detroit News will give us the latest. She'll join Bo Bishop at 10:17. And in the NHL, the Blue Jackets are back on home ice against the Ottawa Senators tonight at 7. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 6:30. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Get a holiday loan and choose loan amounts from $1,000 to $5,000. Visit BMIFCU/holiday loan for details.
The final season of Yellowstone might just be Bo's dad live on YouTube. What's the difference anyway? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour here on a Thursday. Obviously loaded up with the coaching change at Michigan, the fallout from it, the tragedy that appears to be nearly averted. Based on some of the reporting that's out there with Sharone Moore, who spent the night in jail with threats of doing harm to himself and others. And so all of those things are swirling around the sport. Angelique Chingalis of the Detroit News, who's been all over this story and is a great friend of the program and very generous with her time, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Between now and then, let's open up the mailbag.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You got to get it out. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
Sponsored by Nationwide Children's Hospital. Donate today to light up the lawn and light up a life.
Yeah, and just some behind the curtain stuff in regard to the emails, and I mentioned this before during this segment, but probably need to do it again. We've had the top men on it for a couple of weeks now, and it's a little bit more troublesome than we thought in terms of being able to track down email. So what is happening is if you are going to 971thefan.com and clicking on us and emailing me the way that so many of you do, to the point where this segment is, of course, filled by those emails that you're doing that way, I'm not able to see. And we're not able to have access to. So there's something wrong with that connection. And so if you email directly, bo.bishop@tegna.com, those I get. So a great many of you have been doing that, and that's great. And we're able to see those. But the ones that go through the website, I'm still not able to see. But I think our top men are on it, Reese.
Yeah, I think something about a Radio Ohio thing and that not being a thing anymore.
Something, I don't know what it is.
Wait till our extension changes next year.
Just keep making it harder. Make it harder for you to contact us.
Yes, they still will because our fans are the best.
They will, yes. Let's start. So just a couple, because obviously what's going on in the Michigan world. Let's start with Nick with this one because this has to do with this. Absolutely. The subject is Michigan. He writes, Uncle Bo, my bud Jason from UNC Charlotte was one of who made the biblical prediction. Biff Pogi was the UNC Charlotte head coach. Jason dealt with Biff, claims Biff is a massive, not a good guy. When heads of department would report to Biff, these players aren't going to class, Biff would be a complete blank to them. What do you expect me to do? He didn't care. Now's he's the interim at Michigan, a school that claims to be different. Connor Stallion's cheating. Now Sharon Moore cheating. When are you humiliated to this degree? What is a common thing to do? You go find a group of friends, a new group of friends. Dude, it's coming together. Nonetheless, on BFS yesterday, you were saying this is the second most popular sport in the country. It is beyond messed up. Something is going to happen. Dude, it's happening. My goodness. God love and God bless. Be good, Nick. The Biff Pogi sounds
Biff,
crazy.
Biff.
He is a massive, not
person.
A good guy.
He's a large human.
Like,
I mean, he looks like Larry the Cable Guy's older brother, doesn't he?
He does a little. Do you think that they will play in this bowl game?
Yes.
Yes, because of that's them, right?
Nothing to see here.
Raise their noses at all of it.
Okay, I think you're probably right. If the transfer portal was open now, I don't think they'd have a team. The only thing that I think is saving them is the fact that they moved the portal to January 2nd. Remember, this portal used to be open in December. They moved it last year because they just are reactionary to everything. So they moved it last year. So that portal opens on January 2nd. I think you're going to see a massive humanity from
that
the University
doesn't
of Michigan
mean those players have to play, though.
That's
they
my
can
point.
All opt out.
Yeah,
they were not in.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing it all. I mean, Texas has already got like five or six guys in the portal. It's happening all over the sport already.
Also,
they're saying they're going to the portal. They're not in it yet, but they're having their representation say they're in it.
Stuff like this reeks of more lawsuits, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know Iowa State, the kid from Watterson, is going to Iowa State, and I believe they already announced a replacement for Matt Campbell, but he already said, regardless, he's in the transfer portal. Like, you can't change coaches the week after National Signing Day and not expect these kids to stay.
Michael McCann is an actual lawyer on Twitter at McCann Sports Law and says there's a scenario he sees Sharon Moore suing the university for his termination.
Why not?
For breach of contract. He has said that, and he's using precedent from lawsuits brought on by other college coaches, Moore might argue the investigation lacked key elements of due process, including a credible opportunity to be heard and to confront accusers, adequate notice of the alleged violations, and incomplete or unreliable fact-finding, particularly if witnesses were not under oath or refused to share emails and or texts. So he's going off of precedent, which I'm sure in the history of the sport that we love, there is precedent for this where coaches behave a certain way, but somehow argue their termination was unjust and are paid out. But this doesn't look to be the case. I'm just hoping for the chaos that would come with that. Because if in a lawsuit you want to file that, sure, there's going to be a discovery.
Didn't Sharon Moore delete 50-some text messages between him and Connor Stallion?
That's because he was embarrassed to be associated with Stallion.
That's something different, Bo. It's not even the same thing.
It was the lack of integrity by Connor Stallions, I think, just upset Sharon so much that he had a new phone who diss him.
How dare you compare the two? try to put them together. How did he not have time to answer this if the investigation was over the summer?
That's a great point. So there was an internal investigation over the summer, and then it was the external investigation. And our buddy John Ubake had reporting today on social media that the person that he had the affair with, alleged affair. Can we say alleged, or is it now known? I guess alleged until he can answer for it is probably the correct way to do it. But that person changed her mind yesterday. And decided to cooperate, according to John Ubake.
Was that Portnoy telling her, hey, we can't have 9-3. We got to be in the college football playoff. You need to change your answer to this now?
The only thing for me, just on field, and it's hard to separate because, allegedly this is a man who was threatening to take his own life last night and was in custody in jail under mental health watch. So that is as serious a stuff as... That's what makes some of the... I don't want to get too jokey with all of this because there is that side of it that is incredible. This is a man's life who's ruined of his own volition. I mean, he made these choices and he got himself into it, but you don't ever want to see that. But
kids involved too.
There's no question. Little kids and a wife and humans. I mean, it's just so brutal on all sides. I didn't think that just from a football perspective that he had done too bad.
No.
I mean, I think it's been pretty good considering what he was having to come out of the Harbaugh mess.
And the true freshman quarterback starting his first year, you're one game removed from a college football playoff berth. Like, with the class that they just signed and everything from last year, the guys that were coming back and the pieces that you think you were building towards, I could understand the great excitement for Michigan football going into 2026. And this derails the whole thing for 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
At the least...
I have can't even begin to know what's coming up next. This one actually got on social from my buddy Hoops. If DeBoer would have went to Penn State, would Lane now be at Bama? Might have been why Lane was slow paying LSU gig. As you know, agents are discussing these opportunities, changes coming. He's right on this. Do I think that Lane Kiffin would rather coach Alabama than LSU? 2-3 years ago, I would have said yes. Now I don't think so. I think LSU is a much softer landing spot. I think their resources are probably bigger and better. The in-state talent is better, or at least equal
to
what it is in Alabama.
Todd Graves from Raising Cane's. I don't think Alabama has any single donor on that level. But you should ask Paul that question, because he'll be on at 10:30. So we're going to be busy this hour.
You know Paul's loving this Michigan stuff.
Yeah, it is such a mess. I wouldn't even know where to begin with cleaning it up. And it's going to be so difficult for them to clean it up because of the fact that as it stands right now, they don't have a president. So then you say, and the other thing that happens with these Board of Regents is we just talked about this with Rich Scarcella yesterday at Penn State, how they have, I mean, Brandon Short is on the board at a Board of Trustees at Penn State. Jay Paterno's on the board at Penn State. They don't see eye to eye. So the same thing could be happening. I mean, who knows what's happening at Michigan in those circumstances? That's the other problem with all of this is how do you even begin to clean it up? One person that does know the circumstances around all of this is our great friend Angelique Chingalis, and she's going to join us coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's Tebow.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Yo, listener. Are you having a stressful day? Do you want to unwind before you go home to your annoying family? Good news! You can spend time with our annoying family, Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
Hello, it's...
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hey there, Central Ohio. I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens with your latest forecast. We're looking at some flurry activity that should decrease as we head into the day. Temperatures in the low 30s. More snow chances return tonight and into Friday. Highest impacts to the southwest of Columbus. We'll see another chance for snow this weekend before bitter cold air returns early next week. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly brought to you and sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. And quite honestly, for taking the time to join us today, our next guest can have whatever she wants at Diamond Cellar on me. Angelique Chinkalis, Detroit News, joins us. Thank you so much, dear friend, for taking the time on what has to be an absolutely surreal, crazy last 24 hours for you. Let's just start here. As you understand it, and your reporting is incredible at the Detroit News, what is the timeline on how all of this came to a head and inevitably ended? And let's, from the football perspective, with his firing yesterday afternoon.
Well, from my conversations last night, it sounded like they had done an internal investigation at Michigan, didn't turn up any evidence. And, I think it was one of those things where you go right and say, is this happening? No. Is this happening? No. You know, deny, deny, deny. So they didn't have any evidence. And there was enough smoke there that the Board of Regents thought that they should bring in an outside investigative firm. And that's what they did. And it takes some time to do that. Like they mentioned that, Michigan a few years ago fired the president, Mark Schlissel, because of something similar, inappropriate relationship with someone on staff. But as this person said, it takes time to get an investigation going. And when you bring in one of those firms, so that really kicked into gear earlier this week. And yesterday there was an important piece of information, I'm not sure the specifics of it, that was delivered, and that turned everything, and Ward Manuel fired Sherrone Moore. And then it went off the rails, and, Sherrone Moore's now in jail, and they're waiting on his arraignment right now, and it could be in person. I highly doubt that. I assume they'll probably go with, something on Zoom so he doesn't have to face all the people, all the reporters who are waiting for him. But it's just, it doesn't stop there. It's now, it's like, everybody's up in arms about Ward Manuel. What's his role in this? Should this have happened sooner? What did he know? And, this is not going to end anytime soon, as you know, and we were just laughing off air that it's like every December at Michigan, there is something going on controversial. Mm-hmm. So this just feels normal now. This is Christmas now for me.
I know it is. And of course, and still no president there either. So,
right.
So then it becomes, all right, well, who is the person of power who is leading all of this? From your understanding, is there certain members of the Board of Regents? Like what triggered this? Hey, there's smoke here. We got to see if there's more, because usually the skeptic in me says, if the 2 years were going great, and you do an internal and there's nothing there, then you just let it lie. But if there's smoke, then you decide to take that next step of, okay, external, and now we get this information. Who is pulling the strings to make those moves?
Well, I don't know specifically, but, this is a very powerful Board of Regents. And I think people saw that in terms of this Big Ten private equity deal. I mean, look how they became extremely vocal and made change, had this pause now, and got USC on board, et cetera. So this is a very powerful group, and they really do take what they do very seriously. And, this is not the first time they've had to deal with something like this, as I mentioned, the Schlissel case a few years ago. So, there were rumors. I had heard rumors back in 2022. But, it's just stuff people are talking about. You never know. That's the nature of rumors. But clearly there was evidence building and probably more people coming forward and saying, yeah, this is going on. And have you looked at this? And that's why you can't stop in something like this. And I know people want to say, well, it's convenient. They waited till after signing day. Well, I don't think that's the case. And I think that was the point made to me last night is that, yes, you you hire an investigative firm, but it takes some time to put that firm, that search or whatever you want to call it, investigation in place. And that's why the timing of it was is what it is right now. I mean, it doesn't mean that these guys who've committed to Michigan are going to stay now.
No.
I mean, I've talked to a couple parents, and they're very much in wait-and-see mode. I mean, they want to see if Michigan can make a home run hire, and if the athletic director is there to make the hire. I mean, there's so many moving parts here, it's hard to keep up. But if
you're
they
not
can
have
make
any
a home run
off.
Hire... Yeah, I mean, but if they can make a home run hire here, and it's very possible they can, this is a desirable job, and, you know, but I do foresee this next coach, it's just going to blow up the place, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that it feels like there's a lot of Game of Thrones kind of vibe in that place right now in the building, and it probably would be the best thing right now to start from scratch.
Oh, yeah, Cersei Lannister did that to the Sept, so you know how that worked in Game of Thrones. So, okay, let's just do a little, and I've talked about this all morning, obviously, and been consistent and sensitive to that. This is a human being. This is there's a wife. There are three little girls. There's all of this. You know him. I don't know how well, but certainly very familiar. Was the behavior post firing? How did that sit with you?
Oh, I mean, look, I always found. First thing I will say is I've been on record since December 2023 saying I didn't think he should be the next head coach. And I thought the first call should be Kalen DeBoer. And I think even after the USC loss, I was on a couple of radio shows in Ann Arbor saying, I said, and I will continue to say, I didn't think he should be the head coach. I didn't think he was ready for it. And by ready for it, I also meant emotionally. I mean, what people saw after the Penn State game when he was in tears, that's who he is. I mean, he gets triggered very quickly. And yes, I think some people found it endearing. Other people thought it was humiliating. I tend to think it was kind of ridiculous. But that's who he is. He reacts to things like that, and he's over the top emotional. So I think I'm not surprised by what happened yesterday, in the sense that he's just realized his world is probably ending in terms of his career and his family. And, you know, I don't know. I can't put myself in those shoes. How would I react? But knowing his reactions to other situations, I was not shocked by how emotional the response was, or seems to have been.
Talking to the great Angelique Chingalis of the Detroit News, her reporting on this is first rate, as it always is, and there's going to be a lot more of it. So go there, subscribe, and read it, and you'll get smarter for it. In terms of what's next, you said house cleaning. I will tell you, from the perception down here with the hiring of Moore, was to me it felt like, and I've said this for years, he almost kind of felt like the patsy. Almost felt like if there was something more coming, he could take the fall for it. Well, now he didn't take the fall for Stallions, but of course he was still going to be suspended for a game next year for other things. He does take the fall inevitably. Does this allow for a clean break from all of it? And do you think that is what will finally happen?
Yes, I do. I think you move on from this, you know, the Harbaugh to Sharon Moore transition. You never forget it. It can't be erased. But you've got to move on. And I always believed Kalen DeBoer was the right guy in 2023 because, A, he's a good coach, but he has experience in the area. He coached at Eastern Michigan. He's been in the Big Ten at IU. I believe, and I've been meaning to look this up, but I believe his wife is from Ypsilanti. So he has connections to this area. And I just think, you know, he's the kind of guy who, you know, my other big issue with hiring Sharon Moore is that he had no experience and as a head coach. And you know, he's 36, 37 years old. He had a very short window in college football. He didn't have a huge network of coaches. You know, most of these guys come in and they have their guys. Well, he didn't have his guys when he had to hire a whole defensive staff. So there were in my mind, a lot of strikes. And I think that the other issue that I found with Sharon is that, you know, I think he confused being a player's coach with being a player's friend. And, you know, I think you have to have a healthy respect, maybe a little healthy fear like you do with your parents. I know I do, with your head coach. And I don't think that existed. And I think that lends to an air of a lack of discipline. And I think that, you know, that you could see that occasionally with this team. And I think that you've got to clear out the building. And, you know, I think that's uncomfortable to say because there are coaches in there who don't know what their future holds. He just hired Kerry Coombs. I mean, you know, what's what's next for these guys. But, and I'm not saying, you know, that all of them should go. I'm just saying that the guys who've been there the longest, it's probably time that Michigan cleans house and moves on and just starts fresh.
And again, this is all just so fresh, but you've mentioned DeBoer a couple of times. He's the betting favorite to get it. He was rumored at Penn State too. I was talking about that mm-hmm. yesterday on the show with the Penn State beat writer about that. They really thought that if he lost the Iron Bowl, that he would have maybe gone to Penn State. And certainly who knows what's going on down there. I got Feinbaum coming on in 4 minutes. So I guess maybe he can tell me, but in terms of Kalen, that's the home run hire. How realistic does that feel? And I understand that this is also fresh, so I won't hold you to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think from people I've talked to that there is interest, you know, that they believe that there's interest. I don't know if there's actually been conversations with him or his people, but, you know, I think that from what I've heard, when he was at Washington, he would tell people that Michigan and Alabama are two programs he could see himself coaching. And I think that's what people are relying on. And I think it's, you know, who knows how, and you'll find out from Feinbaum, how is he accepted at Alabama? You know, the start of the season, it sure didn't sound like it. That woman was going to give up her lottery money to get rid of him to pay his buyout. Then they started winning and now they're in the playoff. But, you know, it's, I don't think it's a perfect relationship there with DeBoer in Alabama. And maybe that works to Michigan's favor and maybe it isn't, but. You know, people are throwing out Jed Fish, you know, a guy at Washington who's been at Michigan. There are a few other names floating, but I think number one target right now is Kalen DeBoer. And that's the one I'm watching to see if that will come to fruition at this moment.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this one. Two-parter. Number one, do you think that they knew who they wanted to hire when they made the fire yesterday? And number two, do you think they still play in that bowl game?
I think if you're a good athletic director, you have a list. And I've talked to Ward about this before, and he's like, yes, I always have a list. So I've got to believe that Kalen DeBoer has been on his list. I don't know if he's number one or number two, but I believe he's been there. And I missed your second question about the bowl game.
Do you think they actually play in the bowl game?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I wrote that on my little list yesterday. Will they play? And I got to believe they will. They've got Biff Poggi in there as the acting head coach. But who knows with attrition? There was always going to be natural attrition, guys who weren't going to play. I'm not really interested in going to Orlando, so they asked me for a vote. I know where I stand. So
I can't thank you enough on a crazy day for you for giving us some time and your expertise and sharing it with us. Thank you so much, and happy thanks. Holidays, and hopefully you can relax a little bit.
Right. Okay, thanks, Bo. I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you, too.
All right, there she goes. Angelique Chingalis with the Detroit News. Again, continue to read her reporting on it. It's as good as you're going to find, and a really good accounting of what exactly happened at Michigan. So the name that's come up over and over all morning is Kalen DeBoer, a man who ought to know if there is legitimacy to that is Paul Feinbaum. He's up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the fan.
Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Paul Feinbaum, listen to me.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Quiet little Thursday in our sport, buddy. So yesterday I had a Penn State beat reporter who I believe would know his stuff tell me that he really believed that there was a real chance that if Alabama had lost to Auburn in the Iron Bowl, that Kalen DeBoer was a realistic shot at Penn State. I just got done talking to Angelique Chingalis of the Detroit News, who feels like that is the number one target at Michigan. That's a lot of smoke around one man's name. Is he not happy there?
I don't know if it's a matter of that, Bo. I think it's simply a matter of the unbelievable task of replacing Nick Saban. And let's be honest, he hasn't done that great of a job. He didn't make the playoffs last year. He barely got in this year. He had bookend embarrassing losses. And I think you can understand being around a premier program that Alabama fans don't take lightly to that. I mean, they're not having Christmas parades because they got into the playoffs. This is a program used to winning playoffs and winning championships.
Yeah, and I mentioned this earlier on our show. I was in Tallahassee when Bowden left and it became Jimbo's job, and Bobby moved to Birmingham, which you know, and Panama City, and moved out of town. And I see Saban at basketball games. He's obviously on every morning on College Game Day. He's omnipresent, like looming over DeBoer. And to me, it came down to one of two things. Either DeBoer, the pressure of all of that has gotten to him, or he would like for them to appreciate him a little bit more. You know that operation pretty well. Which way do you see this kind of playing out? If Michigan calls, does he pick up and does he indeed acquiesce?
I think a lot depends on a week from tomorrow night. Because if Alabama wins that game, they go to the Rose Bowl and the season suddenly looks a lot better, regardless of what happens against Indiana. But a loss would be pretty devastating, Bo. I don't need to tell you how big this a game is, and a loss would make another four loss season, and that's just not really acceptable at Alabama. And you mentioned Saban a minute ago. It's not only Saban; it's Saban's wife. I mean, she's still the first lady of Alabama football. They go to basketball games. I related the story to you last spring, I believe, when I was at a golf tournament here, and we had Kalen DeBoer on our show, a bunch of celebrities, Kirby, everybody, and as DeBoer was sitting down, Saban's entourage showed up, and what are we going to do? I mean, we basically rushed through Kalen DeBoer in about 3.5 minutes to get to Nick Saban. And I mean, the idea of that is almost hard to imagine, but that's the reality. People want to hear from Saban.
I guess then the next thing would be, is Nick not aware of that, or does he not care?
I think Nick's pretty aware of everything, but the fact, I mean, he's not there all the time. I mean, he's got a few homes around the world, but yeah. In many ways, though, it's where his wife wants to be. And he's also making $500,000 a year to do something for the University of Alabama. I'm not exactly sure what that is.
Yeah, geez, you'd think that. That's such a brutal spot. I can't even imagine that. So then that does add legitimacy to it. I heard some of McElroy's comments this morning, Greg McElroy's comments this morning about how it'd be a shame if DeBoer ever left. Really thinks they can't do better than that at Alabama. If this all does go that way, like who would that fan base want if they're not happy with DeBoer? Who would they be happy with? Kiffin's at LSU.
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to be funny here, but I've had about 10 people text me today saying, do you think Lane Kiffin has signed his contract? Because, I mean, by the way, you do have to admit that would be the greatest story of all time.
It would, yeah.
But I don't know. But I can tell you Greg Burns has thought about it. He had to think about it when DeBoer was flirting with Penn State, and he's well aware of what's going on right now. So I don't know where you look, though. There are, the field is pretty slim considering most of the big names have been locked up.
Is the LSU job or the Bama job the better job?
I think in terms of probably talent, maybe LSU is a hair ahead of Alabama. But, I mean, Alabama is still the gold standard in college football. It has been forever. And I just think that the politics of Alabama are maybe a little easier. And I also think replacing the guy who replaced the guy is always easier as well. You've seen that a little bit up in Columbus.
Yeah, it's difficult. So your view is this Michigan thing unravels yesterday. You would have been on the air, no doubt, while this was going on. And he is fired. And then there, I mean, this is a human being and it's a near tragedy reportedly and all these other things. But just from the football perspective, what did you make of the timing of the Sharon Moore firing and just kind of a Michigan program in shambles?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And by the way, forget all the human element, which everybody wants to pontificate about or postulate about, but Jerome Moore wasn't that great of a coach. He was a fill-in. He was tainted from day one. What I really did not like, and I just came off being on First Take with Michigan graduate Adam Schefter, was being lectured and preached to by Adam Schefter about there's two sides of the story and HR couldn't find anything the first time around, as if HR is the FBI.
right.
Somebody finally came up, and I hate to trust Michigan about anything, but something tells me they had pretty good evidence, and Schefter tried to act like, I realize you were on the air and probably couldn't hear it, but people have been out to get Sherrone Moore from the beginning. Who cares? This to me comes off in a very pathetic, and I'm concerned about a lot of things, but Sherrone Moore is not one of them.
No, and he made his own bed in this instance, Paul. And furthermore, I always thought he was the patsy, and I always thought he was going to be the fall guy for whatever else was going to come from the Harbaugh regime. And I think that inevitably that's probably what's going to happen here. It's going to leave a pretty talented roster that's going to get picked over. There's going to be a bowl game that may or may not happen. It's a pretty good recruiting class that's going to be picked over as well. I mean, this whole thing is in ruins at this point. So fascinating to see where they go from that in the DeBoer connection. It's amazing how much his name keeps coming up. And of course, if this doesn't happen, you and I are talking about the playoff and what they got right and what they got wrong. So let's do a couple of minutes on that. What did you make of what they inevitably decided to do?
I didn't have a problem with it. It has nothing to do with the Alabama connection and all that. I just felt like they boxed themselves in. And how much could they value that loss to Georgia when they weren't and haven't valued those things in the past? And I really didn't care about Notre Dame. I thought Notre Dame caught a break yesterday with Michigan, because until then, they were having one of the worst weeks I've ever seen them have. And that's saying something for a pompous, self-important institution. But Pete Bakhtiava came off as a complete loser this week with all of his belly aching. And there are a lot of people that followed. Ultimately, I think the CFP got exposed as the fraudulent committee that we've always felt them to be. But ultimately, we're not talking about the top of the ticket here. Whether Alabama got in or Notre Dame got in or BYU or it really doesn't make any difference.
No, it doesn't. And I thought the idea, I mean, Notre Dame is such a fine institution of higher learning, and the fact that they didn't realize that what happens on Tuesday is a television show absolutely blew my mind, that they acted so naive with all of that. I didn't understand it. I am curious if this is something, it seems like they're emboldened, but I do wonder if this is something, and I see a reporting this morning that some power conference commissioners are saying, hey, we're just not going to, because of this memorandum of they're in if they're in the top 12, that some power conference commissioners are just going to say, hey, we're not going to play them. They play four Big Ten teams next year. If the Big Ten decided not to play them, good luck scheduling.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't, first of all, it's early December. Everybody's hanging around the Hall of Fame and all these other things, and they got too much time to talk. And I don't think much will change, Bo. Much never changes in college football, and that's why we're in such a mess that we are.
Indeed, sir. All right, buddy. Thanks for your time, as always, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks, buddy.
Always enjoy it. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN and the SEC Network, joining on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. So I got the sense Schefter was on First Take this morning, kind of defending Moore.
Is that defending Michigan?
Michigan or
Moore? And what could the university do in the situation with the investigation?
Okay,
man, but that's what I took from
you
it.
You protect
too.
The institution at all costs if you're the Michigan man, and Sherrone. Mm-hmm. In the situation that you outline is the patsy here.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. What a day. Thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah. They've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Incova Insurance. We've talked about this a little bit before here in the early season, but what's it been like to be able to get a lift off the bench the way your team's been able to do, Jake?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. You know, Amari's led the way for us. He provides great energy, physicality. His production is continuing to improve. Got some really good minutes from Colin White, against Northwestern. Gabe's been consistent for us. And I think we're still hopeful, that we can get, kind of another guy into the rotation at some point. We just got to keep getting better, keep practicing well. And, we know we're going to need everybody at some point this year, so everybody's got to stay ready.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Incova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. You can trust their team of agents to develop a strategy that's just right for you. And it's not just X's and O's. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down.
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Classic Bob.
At Ohio State, we are the Never Afraid to Innovate teams and the Improve People's Lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Jake, and talking about getting the lift off the bench you've gotten, is that something that it's what you see in practice that leads to those opportunities, and then those opportunities further engage guys in practice?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's all related, right? And what we want is we want to see consistency in practice. And oftentimes that consistency, you know, leads to a better play when your opportunity's there. And so we're always evaluating that stuff, but we're just pushing each and every guy to grow individually, because that's how you help our team. And so we're working towards that every day.
It is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Toyota-thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through January 5th, you can get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, you get Toyota Care 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Guys, thanks.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And John Talty of CBS Sports reporting Sharon Moore is still in custody in county jail. And due to the ongoing investigation, CBS Sports has told Moore is not expected to be charged or arraigned today. Time for a little thing or not a thing on a very busy Thursday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Bo, you had mentioned this with Paul Feinbaum in the last segment. If you missed Paul, if you missed Angelique, if you missed any of our discussion on Sharon Moore in Michigan from earlier in the program, the YouTube feed is available, and wherever it is you do your podcasting, be sure to drop a 5-star and a like, and then comment and say nice things about Baker, because he's been sick, so maybe that'll cheer him up a little bit so he can actually have his voice back to him. But Yahoo Sports' Dan Wolkin is reporting that it's not going well for Pete Bavakwa on his Notre Dame wine tour. This from his reporting. After learning of Notre Dame's memorandum of understanding that grants the Irish preferential playoff access starting next year, athletic directors in other leagues are threatening to freeze Notre Dame out of future schedules. He adds, this is actively happening within leagues. The memorandum of understanding and the Bavakwa press tour are not going well across college sports. Thing, or not a thing.
How many people, I guess really prominent people listen to this program? I mean, Reese, you've been with me a long time. How long have I been saying all it takes is we're not playing you?
Yeah.
If the Big Ten just says we're not playing you, their schedule next year has four Big Ten teams on it. Four of them. They play Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin, and USC. Good luck. Like, he's throwing stones at ACC. All the ACC has to say, yeah, we're okay, fine. By the way, Notre Dame is not enhancing the money that they're getting from ESPN because what the money they're getting from ESPN is finite. It is known. Notre Dame is not giving the ACC anything in terms of more financial cash now. That deal runs through 2036. Who knows what this sport will be by then? If the ACC said, fine, you're out, we're not scheduling you, who's Notre Dame going to play? Navy? Air Force? Central Michigan? You're going to fill the schedule with that? Good luck. I don't think they have the power that they perceive that they do.
You're right, Bo. They do not, and this has always been an easy fix. If you want them to join a conference, you all just say, hey, we're not scheduling you, and then they have to. I also, for these other people, like we talked about Brent Yormark the other day, don't stand up there and be Tommy Tough Guy. And, yeah. Well, if he was in the room, I would say this to his face. No, you wouldn't. You'd be begging him to join your conference, so shut up. Like, all these guys that are trying to talk tough with them, like, you're not doing it. So shut up. Do it. Actions speak louder than words. And tell them, we're not going to play you unless you come join our conference. And there you go. Just quit talking about it.
It's both that Notre Dame needs conferences now more than they ever have, and also that every conference would love to have them. They all would. The SEC would take them in a second. The Big Ten would take them in a second without a hesitation. Both are true.
This was from the most recent episode of Bussin' with the Boys.
Oh, God,
Taylor Lewan and I'm blanking on his co-host name. We're now with FanDuel. Former LSU head coach Ed Orgeron told the boys a story of recruiting Joe Burrow to Baton Rouge back in 2018.
And Joe goes, well, I'm going home, and I'm not going to talk to anybody till Thursday. Now, you think my ass is going to wait till Thursday? No way. So, they leave. So, we have a little vote. All the coaches, why we have fun with it. Where's Joe going? Cincinnati. My ass is going to Cincinnati. We're going to find a way, boys. So, on his trip, I made good friends with his brother, Dan. Now, Dan is very talkative. Joe is not. So, I said, Derek, call Dan. Dan, where you think Joe ought to go? Well, coach, it's his decision. Dan, shut that up. Dan, nothing wrong with Cincinnati. Dan, Cincinnati or LSU? Dan, he's going to win the Heisman here. He's going to be a first-round draft. We're going to win it. I know, coach. But it's his. I said, bullshit. Dan? I said, Dan, do you love your brother? He goes, yes, I do. I said, how much? A bunch. I said, Dan, take your hands and put it down your pants, son. I said, squeeze them damn things. Make sure you got two. He said, coach, I'm squeezing. Squeeze harder. I'm squeezing. Now, Dan, if you got two, you going to call your brother and you going to tell him to come to LSU. I mean, I think he actually was squeezing them, right? Hey, you got to find out you got two, right?
Yeah.
Let's go, babe. Out the blue. Hit a call, Joe Burrow. He goes, coach, I won't be a tiger. What? Yes, baby! Here we go, man! Here we go!
Will Compton's the co-host on Bussin' with the Boys. Thing or not a thing?
I just want to hear him tell stories, first of all. Every time he can't wait to do it. I don't know that anyone loves being who they are more than him. He loves himself some Ed Orgeron. Loves it. I remember when this happened. I was doing the show with Threes, and I said, if he goes to LSU and wins a little, they'll build a statue. Now, he went to LSU and won a lot and had maybe the best single season in the history of college football and maybe one of the best college football teams of all time. And so statues and all retired jerseys, all those things are in the making for Joe down there. I'm also shocked that Lane Kiffin has not put Ed Orgeron on his staff.
yet.
I really am. I don't know what's taking so long. Like, go have him coach D-line. He said he would do it.
Well, maybe, as Paul said, he hasn't signed the contract yet, so maybe he's got to decide where Kiffin's going to end up. That might be my favorite audio we've ever played on this show. Gosh, we need Coach O back in college football more than anything. That is just tremendous. Put your hand down your pants and squeeze them. Jeez. See if you got a pair.
And I said this when Joe went to LSU. It took onions to do that. Because he could have went to Cincinnati. Also in that interview, Orgeron tells the part about how Joe, like, I know how good you are. And then he says, look, I never watched any film. I just listened to what people said. I know how good you are. I'm going to make you the four-string quarterback, and you got to earn it. And he did. Joe earned all of that stuff. That was a big-time chesty LSU team. You got to remember, that's Justin Jefferson. That's Jamar Chase. That's Grant Delpit. That's Greedy Williams. I mean, there's a ton of NFL talent on that team. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he had to win over all of them in short order, and he did. But they made him earn all of it.
Terrence Marshall Jr., another receiver, just got it.
Randy Moss's kid. I mean, they were
so good.
Yeah, completely. And he earned all of it. Jeez. He's got to get back to LSU, doesn't he? Like, if you're, I mean,
it's the only spot it would make sense.
Of course. He also told a story about how it all used to be, you know, now it's all above board. They used to go in the back door with the money. Now they can go in the front. Like, just. You're beyond the statute of limitations, I guess, is the way that all that shakes out. Obviously, a very busy day in the sports world, and we'll continue to chronicle it over the final hour of the program. We will beat the house. We'll do our NFL picks. We'll also continue to update the story out of the University of Michigan, and a lot of what feels like real smoke regarding Kalen DeBoer potentially being the man who's going to get the first call, probably has already gotten the first call on all of that. We'll put it all into perspective in the final hour. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Matty Ice here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Now former Michigan head coach Sharon Moore remains in protective mental health custody awaiting arraignment in Ann Arbor for an alleged assault yesterday, shortly after being fired by Michigan for an inappropriate extramarital relationship with a football staffer. The football team is in Citrus Bowl preparations with Biff Poggi as interim head coach. The Wolverines are scheduled to play Texas on New Year's Eve. For the current Michigan players, all signee and signees of the class of 2026, new NCAA rules won't allow them to enter the transfer portal until 5 days after the school hires a new head coach, or the winter portal window opens on January 2nd. In the NFL tonight, Week 15 begins in Tampa. The Buccaneers play the Falcons at 8:15. In college hoops, the Ohio State women's squad hosts Northern Kentucky at 6:30. You can hear that game over on the Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial with coverage at 6:15. And Boone Jenner's back for the Blue Jackets tonight, hosting the Ottawa Senators at 7 o'clock. Here, Blue Jackets hockey with coverage at 6:30 right here on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Just a crazy last little less than 24 hours in the college football world with all of the news at the University of Michigan. We'll reset all of that. The handsome update anchor just did there for you, and then we'll reset it here in about 16, 17 minutes from now. Time now, though, to beat the house.
Beat the house.
Sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Visit their Grandview, Gahanna, and Westerville locations to experience the best in craft dining and distilling. Learn more at highbankco.com.
Reese with a 500 week last week. He's 97-111 now overall. Bo, I do not have yours tabulated.
9-5.
9-5, okay.
9-5.
It's a good week.
Yeah, 110-98 overall, picking every NFL game against the number all season long. I will tell you this, folks, stay away from this week. There's too much uncertainty. There's too much, I don't know who's playing quarterback. These lines are crazy in some instances. I've never seen so many big lines. Lines are moving massively, like the Ravens-Bengals line moved massively in the last 24, 48 hours. So just beware out there this weekend.
Did that move because Joe Burrow said he wants to have fun again?
I don't know. There's a lot going on, man. But
come on, Joe.
We haven't even gotten to that yet. I mean, people saying that there's talk that Burrow wants out of Cincinnati. He just signed the contract.
All kinds of Andrew Luck comparisons all of a sudden with Joe Burrow.
Absolutely, yeah.
We kick the slate off tonight, 8:15, Amazon Prime. The Atlanta Falcons down in Tampa to take on the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, who have been struggling, are a 4.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, the they went from like the most watched Thursday night football game of all time last week with Dallas and Detroit to the one of the least watched, I think, ever. I'm not going to watch any of this. I have no interest in this game, other than the obvious with the bet with NBC, my 13-year-old. And so because of that, and because I feel like I'm now destined to doom and owe that kid money, I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to go down to Tampa Bay and just beat the brakes off of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because that's just my luck. So I'll take the 4.5 and I'll take the Falcons.
I'm not ready to go with breaks getting beaten off the Buccaneers, but I will say the Falcons cover at the very least.
Ugh, they're going to win. Just you watch.
Let's head to 1 o'clock on
Sunday.
Guys,
at the time I made the bet, Tampa Bay was 5-1. And the Carolina Panthers were one of the worst teams in football.
You don't have to explain anything to us, man.
Awful.
You
just awful.
Just maybe, go get those pennies ready.
Maybe you need to put a phone call into Bay. Say, hey, remember me?
Come on, man.
Help me out here. Speaking of the Brownies, 1 o'clock on Sunday, they're in Chicago to take on the Bears. The Browns are a road dog, 7.5 points.
Cleveland. It's going to be one of the coldest games that anybody has played in Cleveland. I guess they played in that one on Christmas Eve a couple of years ago against the Saints. It was like 10 below or something. It's going to be like that in Chicago. Real feel between 10 and 20 below zero in Chicago. I just think this is going to be a muck-it-up game. And if Shador doesn't throw it to the other team, and the Bears are very good at that, I think Cleveland can keep this close, and I think that they will. I like the Bears winning, but the Brownies covering in Chicago on Sunday.
Yeah, I see it the same. I do remember with that game against the Saints, everyone's like, this will help the Browns because it'll be so cold. And Saints kicked the crap out of Cleveland, but the Bears are really good. The Browns are not. And Cleveland also gave up 30 points to the one win at the time team, Tennessee Titans.
They did.
An AFC North matchup down in Cincinnati as the Bengals host the Baltimore Ravens. The Bengals are the home dog, 2.5 points.
Fortunately for Joe Burrow, who's not having a good time, something's really wrong with Baltimore on offense. So I do think Cincinnati gets the win here.
Yeah, I don't like how you and I are picking all of these the same to this point. Sometimes that can be really, really bad. I see it the same way. I think Cincinnati actually wins the game. I think Baltimore's got real problems offensively, and I think Cincinnati at the very least can still spin it around a little bit. So I like the Bengals as well.
Is this a line that doesn't make sense? The Los Angeles Chargers in Kansas City facing the Chiefs? The Chiefs are 5.5-point home favorites?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where if you've done this long enough, you say somebody's got to know something. I just don't think the Chiefs are that much better than anybody right now. I could see them winning the game, but I think it's just as likely the Chargers do. And the fact that I'm getting all these points, I'll take it. Give me the Chargers.
Go Chargers, go!
Still same after four picks. The Buffalo Bills are in New England taking on the Patriots. The Bills, road favorites, 1.5.
We don't do the outright thing, but I'm going to take the Patriots here.
Same. We'll stay the same on this. Patriots coming off of a bye. I just think that they're really, really good. I know Josh Allen. I mean, they almost lost to Cincinnati at home. I still think the Buffalo could be the team out of the AFC because the pressure amps up, but I think New England is legit good and they're healthy. They're coming off a bye. Give me the Pats as well.
I mean, this is a big-time matchup in the NFC East. This is huge. The Washington Commanders in the Big Apple taking on the Giants. The Giants are favored at home by 2.5.
Good Lord. Is this Marcus Mariota against Jackson Dart?
Yes.
Oh, baby.
Boy.
Why both of these. Sunday night football for this one. Come on.
1-800-GAMBLER.
Both, right, exactly. Both these teams actually need to lose would be best. Oh, heck. I'll take the Giants and throw the 2.5. Who knows?
Yeah, this what came down to me. Like, which quarterback do I trust more? Jackson Dart.
The another NFC East team, the Eagles, they are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a big number. Actually, the next two, next three, I guess, big numbers.
More down at the bottom, too.
11.5, the Eagles are favored.
Somehow, I think Philadelphia wins and covers this.
All right, we'll have our first difference because I think Kenny Pickett's starting for the Raiders, and I think he's going to be more competent than Geno. So the Philly kid comes home. Philly wins the game, but I don't know that Philly right now should be 11.5 over anybody, so I'll take the Raiders and the points.
Longtime Cleveland Brown legend Kenny Pickett. That's right. New York Jets down in Jacksonville taking on the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, 13.5 point favorites.
Who's quarterbacking the Jets? Do we have any idea? Because isn't Tyrod hurt too?
I'm still waiting for Brady Cook to get his shot.
Yeah, I'll throw the points. Give me Jacksonville and the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Jags as well.
Last
These are
one.
Massive numbers, guys. Massive.
They really are. Last one in the 1 o'clock slate, the Arizona Cardinals head to Houston to face the Texans, who are the favorites by 9.5.
Yeah, I think Houston wins this game, but I think the Cardinals keep it closer. If you're going to give me the Texans in like 6.5, I'd take it, but give me Arizona here.
So the tricky thing on this is, I mean, obviously Houston's going to win the game. Their defense has been really lights out for a while now, and they're going to suffocate them, but are they this much better? In terms of like comparisons at home, they haven't really played anybody in this vicinity. They did whip the Jaguars a few weeks ago. I'm going to go. I think this is an ugly game. I think it's right on it, though. I think Houston's going to win something like 21-10. So I'll take Houston. I'll throw the points.
4:25. The Green Bay Packers head to the Mile High City to face the Denver Broncos. And the Packers are a 2.5 point favorite on the road.
That's you, Bake. I'm sorry, Reese.
I'll take the home team.
So Denver hasn't lost since losing in LA in week 3. They have not lost. They've won every single time. Sometimes close. They've been getting by the hair of their chinny chin chin. I think that goes away. I think the Packers go there in the win. The Packers are on a roll. I'll throw the 2.5.
That one, by the way, the Nance and Romo game this week. Over on Fox, you've got the Carolina Panthers, the best team in the history of the world.
That's right.
A 2.5 point favorite on the road taking on the New Orleans Saints.
2.5. You could do 47.5. And I'd still take Carolina in this one. Panthers by a billion. I'm resigned to it. It's done. It's cooked.
Yeah, the Panthers keep pounding.
Guys, they play the Bucks twice in the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
They're winning the division.
Oh, baby.
It's happening. I'm telling you.
This should be a good one. The Detroit Lions head out to L.A. They'll face the Rams. The Rams, the home favorite, 5.5 points.
Real quick, just bring attention to something that never used to happen. There are actually two America's Games of the Week at 4:25. So Nance and Romo on CBS are calling Packers-Broncos, and then Burkhart and Brady are doing Lions and Rams. So there's two of them, which in the old days never used to happen. One of these would have been flexed into Sunday or Monday. They never would have happened like this. I think the Rams win this game, but this is going to be a street fight, and I think the Lions keep it close, so I'll take the points in the Lions.
I see it differently. I think the Rams put it on by a touchdown. I think it's late. This is a close game till late.
The Tennessee Titans in San Francisco taking on the 49ers. We are back to the big numbers. 12.5 points if you want the Niners.
Yeah, I think Tony Pollard did all his running last week in Cleveland. I think the Niners
he's
are able to...
still running in Cleveland.
Then he's not going to be doing well on Sunday because they play in San Francisco. So give me the Niners to win and cover here.
Here are the Niners' scores the last three times out. They beat the Cardinals 41-22. They beat the Panthers 20-9. They beat the Browns 26-8. They bludgeon bad teams, and that continues. I'll throw them.
The Indianapolis Colts and maybe Phillip Rivers, just maybe, at Seattle to take on the Seahawks, a huge number, 13.5 points. The Seahawks are the favorites.
Same. It should be that way. Seattle is one of the best teams in football, certainly one of the best teams in the NFC. This quarterback situation in Indianapolis is absolutely nuts. It's crazy. Like, is Riley Leonard, is Phil Rivers, who doesn't look like he's in shape at all? I mean, did you see him at the press conference?
Did you see the report that Sam Ehlinger said no? He's on somebody's practice squad, and they reach down, and he's like, no, I'm good.
I'm good. He's in L.A., I think, with the Chargers. Yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah, give me Seattle. Give me Seattle. I'll throw it. It's a lot to throw, but I'll throw it.
Yeah, I think regardless of the quarterback, I do think the Colts keep this close. Seattle wins, but I'll take Indy in the 13.5.
Well, you have to worry about, like, the absurd, like, Pete Carroll, what he did last week, like, kicking a field goal for no reason, other than to cover.
I think this does... It's a comfortable win for Seattle and the folks there, the 12th man, but I think the Colts do something late.
We've got Sunday night football in Jerry's world with America's team, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Minnesota Vikings, and the Cowboys are the home favorite by 5.5.
Cowboys win. Vikes keep it close. I'll take the points.
Yeah, I see it the same way. Something happened last week with Minnesota. Again, Vikings playing a bad team, but I don't... Are we? It's like week to week. Is J.J. McCarthy good? Is J.J. McCarthy bad? Is J.J. McCarthy trash? Could J.J. McCarthy show up in Dallas? They win, the Cowboys do. Vikings have a good time with it.
Yeah, and then, of course, the Monday Nighter we will pick on Monday. And Reese, you will not be here. No, I won't be here Monday. You will be here Monday.
And both of you are out Monday.
Won't be here, so we'll get his pick.
Bootsy's Willy Wonka, so I get a miss to go to a Willy Wonka play.
There we go. The Dolphins at the Steelers. As of right now, the Steelers favored by 3.
Wait a sec. He's playing Willy Wonka?
Yeah, that's right.
Good job out of him. If you're going to be any character, it's either Willy Wonka or the grandpa.
It's some sort of amalgamation.
You do the whole thing or you do nothing.
It's Willy Wonka, but he's like a Willy Wonka through history, is the way he explained it to me. I don't know, but I know that I got the call from the blonde, and she's like, no, you're going to go to this. And I'm like, okay, all right, I guess I will. Proud of you, Bootsy boy. Give me the Steelers.
Same, I'll just make my pick now.
All right, there we go.
Neither of you are here, I'm going to forget Monday anyway.
So this is good. This is law. We're good.
I'm glad we're doing it now.
Good for everybody. What's not good for anybody in that state up north is what has happened at the University of Michigan. Completely in shambles, in ruins. What's next? Where do they go from here? We'll update all of it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Things are going to be busy.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel.
Getting the cold.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
And for Central Ohio, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens with your latest forecast. We're looking at a little bit of light flurry activity, but that should end as the day continues. High temperatures making their way into the low 30s this afternoon. Snow chances return tonight and into Friday, heaviest in southwestern Ohio, but look for some slick spots Friday morning. Temperatures still in the 30s. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm Meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And playoff time means brackets. Mountain Dew and The Fan are giving you a shot at $500 in our college football playoff bracket contest. Just fill out your 12-team bracket before the first game kicks off on December 19th. Enter now at 971thefan.com. Obviously, the story today in the sports world is, and certainly hits home close to here, is what has transpired at the University of Michigan in their football program over the last little less than 24 hours from now. I'll do the best, like, just from a timeline, if you're just catching up on all of this. According to reporting, the University of Michigan launched an internal investigation into Sharon Moore's behavior and the allegations of an alleged affair with a staffer who was, of which he was her superior. That was this summer. Nothing came of that investigation. That was according to John U. Bacon. But according to Angelique Chingalis, who we had on in the second hour of the program, and you can listen to, I know we put that interview up on social, and you can obviously listen to it on the podcast, the YouTube, wherever you get it. that there was enough smoke that the University of Michigan launched an independent investigation outside of the athletic department. That investigation culminated yesterday with something changing, according to John U. Bacon, in terms of the timeline and the information that was made available. That led to the University of Michigan firing Sharon Moore with cause. From that point, it leads into, honestly, something stranger than fiction that certainly feels like fiction, where more than reportedly goes into to various homes, threatens his own life, threatens others' lives. He's been arrested by police up in the Ann Arbor area. He spent the night in jail. He is under medical care because of potentially wishing to do harm to himself. He's still in jail as we are here this morning at a little past 20 past the hour, the 11 o'clock hour. So that is the timeline of the events that had happened. The context to this from, I think, our perspective, the college football perspective, my perspective certainly was that upon the hiring of Sharon Moore, and Angelique said this, and she, I remember this vividly, that she did not think that he should be the head coach at Michigan, that he was not someone who was ready for that type of responsibility. I also thought she was very interesting when she talked about his emotional instability in terms of what he did after the Penn State game when he was in tears, that that's kind of his MO. My feeling, and I think for a lot of you out there, felt like Sharon Moore was kind of the patsy, and that if there was going to be more fallout from the Jim Harbaugh, Connor Stallions scandal, he was the perfect guy to have the job for a couple of years while that was being sorted out. And remember, that was being sorted out last year. He still had a suspension to serve next year at the start of the season. That's, some of that stuff was still happening this year. It was still trickling out. So from my perspective, that still seems like the reason that he got the job to begin with. I think it was probably twofold. The players certainly responded to him, and they liked that. But also, and by the way, they were only paying him $6 million a year. And I know what you're saying, only. To be the head coach at Michigan, that's now a $10, $12 million job. So that kind of tells you a little bit about the way they viewed it. And so my hunch was they hired him with the idea of if we have to fire him, he's the perfect fall guy. And that's where the clean break can come. So the timing of this, National Signing Day last Wednesday, all of that, whether Michigan did that intentionally or not, it's up for interpretation. Certainly the one pushback I would have to the Buckeye fan who says, well, of course they waited a week to do this, is it's not like that class can't leave anyway. They can. They just can't leave right now. But there's going to be two opportunities for that program to be poached. The first one will come on January 2nd when the transfer portal opens, and that roster will be free game for anybody who wants. That transfer portal class, or that incoming recruiting class, will be able to be poached within the 15 days of when they hire a new coach. In terms of that new coach, the University of Michigan, and the name that keeps coming up, Angelique brought it up independently, Paul Feinbaum, who we had on and had a long conversation with Paul, and you can get that interview wherever you get your podcasts or also on our social channels. He brought up Kalen DeBoer as well. Kalen DeBoer's connection to the state of Michigan was something I wasn't completely aware of in terms of his wife potentially being from Ypsilanti and being at Eastern Michigan and all of these things. Apparently, according to Angelique, during his time at Washington, the two jobs he would only leave Washington for are Alabama and Michigan. Paul Feinbaum outlined some of the reasons why he would probably like to get out of Alabama, and the omnipresence of Nick Saban is high, high, high on that list. By the way, I couldn't help, as Paul was going through all of that, to think how delusional Alabama folks are, to think that they are entitled to 7 national championships or whatever the heck Saban won in 15 years, that that's the norm. Do they not remember Mike DeBose? Do they not remember Mike Shula or Dennis Franchione or countless other coaches who coached at Alabama between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, with the exception of Gene Stallings? You're not entitled to a national title every year. And in this changing landscape where there's so many layers to it, and the talent is being spread out so evenly, it's just stupefying to me that anybody could look at what Kalen DeBoer has done in the first 2 years at Alabama and say that was anything other than a wild success. What the hell did they think was going to happen? Their roster was raided. Their free safety is a back-to-back first-team consensus All-American playing for Ohio State. We took their center. We took their future franchise quarterback. Texas took a wide receiver. Like, their whole roster was poached. What did those lunatics down there think he was going to do? I mean, I think it's remarkable he had the success that he did.
I just thought he'd be Nick Saban again. That's the hardest job in sport, I think, almost ever, is being the guy to succeed Nick Saban.
It's up there.
Because there's just no way you could have duplicated that success with everything that you just laid out there. I do think for Michigan, it's just slimy. how they lied to those recruits. How when they told those recruits to come to Michigan, like there's no way that Ward Manuel or even Sharon Moore, as he's doing the recruiting, is telling them, yeah, there's this coming, but don't worry about it. They're not saying anything. Like, we're going to build something huge in 2026. Like, everybody's got signing day themes, and theirs was building the foundation brick by brick, which is like, come on, man. Like, Ryan Day's been doing that for the past 365 days. Like, maybe just pick a new theme here, because now those third base jokes are coming back to look real stale for the Michigan man. And the idea that they just weren't honest with their recruits about this, who I would see, get lawyers and fight your letter of intent. And I don't know how much Michigan wants to have to do that battle right now, but I look to what Ohio State did on National Signing Day, where they were honest with the recruits, like Ryan Hartline's leaving, and allowed some of them to take a step back and reassess their commitment. And, you know, in the case of Chris Henry Jr., he reaffirmed his decision to go to Ohio State. And I think it's something that we've said on this show since the beginning of the year, that you have never been in better hands with better people than you do and have right now here in Columbus with what's going on at Ohio State.
And if I'm one of those recruits or I'm a player at Michigan, I just leave. Like the kid that left Wisconsin.
Yeah, that corner from Wisconsin playing in Miami.
I just go, and you guys stop me. Right? You guys come after me in court. I'm not going after you in court. I'm just leaving. I'm going, and this is the way it is. I've also heard some people ask if this does anything to Michigan's probation with the NCAA, and I wouldn't think it would, because this is a school policy and has nothing to do with the NCAA, so I don't think it has anything to do with that. It's just another really, really bad look for that football program and that institution.
Yeah, I think the one thing that Angelique was pretty emphatic about, and it's from our perspective, there's some common sense to it, that they will get a clean break from all of this. So they don't currently have a university president. I cannot imagine Ward Manuel survives this. My hunch is the only feather that would allow him to is the Dusty May hire, because they knocked that out of the park. That's kind of the only thing that might allow him to survive it, but I don't sense it. And so this will allow for them to get a clean break. So when I see like Jesse Minter as a possible replacement, no, I don't think so. I think they're going clean break from this entirely. DeBoer would obviously, I'm sure they've already called him. I'm sure they already called his representation. Paul kind of made it seem like he would kind of see how it went next weekend. What the heck difference would that make?
And do you have time?
No, you don't. And what difference would it make? Like if you win a playoff game against Oklahoma in Norman, somehow that means you want to stay at Alabama? To me, it's just a lifestyle decision. Do you want to stay down there in that state, living in the same town as Nick Saban, and deal with all of that that comes with it, which obviously is a little bit uncomfortable probably from him, from all accounts down there? Or do you want a fresh start in a mess at Michigan? And it's an absolute mess. I think it just comes down to that. Jed Fish is another one who's brought up. Jed Fish did graduate from the University of Florida, so he's a Gator. He was at Michigan when Harbaugh was there. It was in year one. He was there in 15-16 at Michigan at that time as an assistant. So there's a little bit of connection there. But either way, I'd be shocked if Ward Manuel, if he's going to be the one allowed to make the hire. My guess is the Board of Regents will be the ones who make the hire. But if his list, whatever his list is, he's already made contacts with the folks on that list. And he knows who wants this job. And my hunch is he's probably got a pretty good idea of who's going to take it before they fired Sharon Moore yesterday. I'd be shocked if it was anything other than that. Jackets back at home tonight. Shelly time in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The Gloves. Shelly time.
Sponsored by Midwest Cards.
Experience collecting in a whole new way.
All right, time for a little Shelly time on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. It's the time of year, and obviously it didn't come to fruition today, but it's the time of year, Jode, where every night, if there's any chance of inclement weather, my kids are begging for snow days, like just begging for it. Did you have them growing up?
Yes. Yeah, we had a lot of snow. So we had a lot of snow days, but we spent them shoveling snow. That was the problem. So it's kind of like, do you want a
choice.
Snow day? You get to a point where it's mercy. I want to go to school, you know?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
They get a snow day because they can play Xbox all day and hang out and, you know, do whatever. But not in the Shelley household. It was get the shovel out and shovel out the, I think we had a mile-long driveway, now that I think about it. It felt like a mile. It was probably, yeah, it was brutal.
I mean, when
I lived in Newfoundland, we would shovel snow. You'd shovel the snow, and it has to go 4 feet above your head, you know, like by the time mm-hmm. it's February, and it's like, yeah. Not worth the $10.
We had our threshold. There was snow for sure, but ours was air temp. Like if it was below 30 degrees to below zero air temp, then there was something, I'll never forget this, where the school buses, which were running on diesel, the diesel would gel up. And so if it was below 30 below zero air temp, that's when it would happen. What's the coldest that you can ever remember? Do you remember those days?
40 below. Yeah. Yeah, 40 below. So then, you know, it's you can't have people waiting at the bus stop, and it's actually dangerous to go outside. So my parents still live in Edmonton where it gets to be that cold, and they still love it. They love it up there. My dad's still out there shoveling snow, but I'm good.
I'm good. I am too. There's a great there's a great line, a Canadian musician, I'm blanking on the name, who said, we're winter fighters and you have a choice. You either have to kind of just stay inside or you have to go out and face it. And I do think that is kind of it. That's kind of the mentality. If you grew up in Canada, grew up where I did, like it's going to be really cold. You got to go live in it one way or the other. And by the way, all that snow shoveling probably made you an NHL player, buddy.
Yeah, you're right. My dad would say that. Chopping wood, shoveling snow. I was like Rocky. You know, I'd come home from school and there'd be... I remember one morning, I woke up on a Saturday, I was going to go golfing. My dad's great. Ned Shelley, great guy. Good Newfie. Yeah. Anyways, I get up to... I hear the chainsaw going. We lived in a neighborhood in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Chainsaw's going. So I wake up to this on a Saturday. I get up, put my golf stuff on because I'm going to go play nine holes with the boys. Mm-hmm. So I'm on my bike with my clubs, because that's how I did it. And mm-hmm. I go by the front, which was a mistake. And my dad goes, where are you going? I said, going golfing with the boys. He goes, he had the porch cut off the front of the house. He'd use the chainsaw to cut the porch off. He goes, once we get this porch up, you can go golfing. So threw on the clubs. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm in the NHL. So get your kids out there shoveling snow. They get a snow day, great. Make sure the shovels are by the door.
That's how I grew up too, man. And there was nothing more dreadful than your dad going, where do you think you're going? Anywhere but here.
Go get your work clothes on, buddy.
All right, buddy. We got a 3-game losing streak here, and I know we were optimistic about that game down in Carolina. It went the Panthers' way. You do get to get back home, and there's some big time value in that with Ottawa coming to town. But this run of play of late, and I know we talked about it a little bit on Tuesday as well. And look, you talked about it, and Dean talked about it. Like there's a lot of good here. You're just not getting the results. But how long can that continue?
Yeah, no, it's going to end at some point here. I know it's tough hearing. You like the way the team is playing, but it's an important part of this whole regular season. You know, you got to remember the other team is preparing to play against and shutting down Werenski, Fantilli, Marchenko, you know, getting to Jack Greaves or Elvis Merzlikins. So there's another team in this that's involved in coming in and trying to steal the 2 points. And there's... this Blue Jackets team, they're going to get Boone Jenner back tonight, which I think is going to be a big lift in a lot of ways. You know, the way he plays the game, how he's committed to defense and offense, how he's an example on the ice, how he can talk in certain situations in the locker room. It's an important part of it. Listen, when you look at the season as a player, there's segments, right? You get to mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. How are you doing? Now it's 6 games before Christmas, right? So this is an important 4-game homestand and then a couple games on the road, and then you get a break. So for me tonight, both these teams, Ottawa, who's struggling, and Columbus, who's not getting results, what are you made of? Like, this is a stretch where you show, and I think this game tonight in particular. You're going to see two teams going at it extremely desperate and hard to get 2 points, because once you get a win and you settle things down, then you build from there. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And the Blue Jackets, the last couple games, you know, the Washington on the back-to-back, okay, they played well. They didn't win, but it was, you know, they didn't get the goals. Last game, Carolina makes nobody feel good about themselves. But I felt like the Blue Jackets played the Carolina Hurricanes game a lot. Mm-hmm. Kind of felt in, you know, felt into that chasing game and press game, which I think now, you, if you learn from that, you just fall into your game right away and try to dictate the pace. And I think that's part of building in the regular season. You know, you're 30 games in. You're not going to remember. You might remember this segment as one you came out of and learned a lot and you got healthy. And that's the ultimate, that's where this team wants to be. And you look at the standings, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's in the same boat. You know what I mean? Everybody, it seems like the team, I did Colorado the other night. They lost to Nashville, who's second worst in the league. Colorado has 2 regulation wins. Mm-hmm. They have 49 points already on the season. But they didn't play a great game. So, you know, it's just where it's at. Everyone's playing about 52 minutes of hockey at a 60-minute game, and that's where you're either winning it or losing it when those 8 minutes where it's not happening for you.
We talked about this on Tuesday. You're exactly right. I've never seen anything like this in all the years of following the NHL, where the worst team in the East is Buffalo, which has accumulated 28 points. The best team in the East is Washington record-wise. They've accumulated 39. 11 points separates best from the worst 30 games in. It truly is. It's unlike just complete parity in the sport. And so while they've lost 3 in a row, they're not really in any different spot than they were before all of this happened, because there just hasn't been separation. So there's not that much damage that's done.
No, and it's a luxury. It's a luxury, because you can find your footing. And, you know, Tampa won 7 in a row. Then they lost 4 in a row. Ottawa was a hot team to start. Detroit's, what, are they first now?
They are.
In the, you know, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. So when you look at all that and how it shakes out, it's really wild. No. So it's a good thing. I mean, I know we all want results. The coaches, sure. The players, the fans, everybody wants results. You know, they'll get it. But it's while they're in it right now, you just got to kind of get that win. And the Blue Jackets tonight, this is going to be a fun game.
Should be.
Because these two teams are very similar in where they're at and what they want to accomplish.
Absolutely. In terms of this last stretch of play last week or so, who are some guys who you've taken notice of that they're doing it the right way and the results will come?
Well, I go to Fantilli. I think he's doing a really good job of driving that top line. He's on the second line tonight. They're going to put Marchenko with Monahan, which I just think you lose a few games in a row. Monahan is a player that, you know, when you have Fantilli and Marchenko on the same line, they both want to shoot the puck. You know what I mean? Fantilli likes to shoot the puck. I think with Monahan, you're going to see Marchenko maybe get a few more shots here tonight or get in those spots and just wait for the puck, where Monahan will look to pass. Let's see. Cole Sillinger, to me, has been doing a really good job. He's going to be on that line again with Coyle, which you saw about a month ago before the injuries and some movement. He's a guy that's doing it the right way. It seems like every single night he's fast. He's in the right position. He's carrying the puck. He's getting shots through. I could go through a few players that are doing it like that. And I think that's an important piece of this whole thing.
Okay, so we're getting some juggled lines then tonight. So reset them for us. What are we going to see tonight with pairings and lines?
Okay, let me get my notes out. I'll just put them away. All right, you got Voronkov, Monahan, Marchenko. So that's a line that kind of they're used to. And when you have a line like that and you switch it up, you can always go back to it, right, in times like this. So, like I said, Monahan will look to pass. Marchenko more of a shooter. Jenner is in with Fantilli and Johnson.
Okay.
So Boone Jenner is back in. He's going to be the one hunting puck. He's going to be the one, you know, with that extra defensive awareness. Sillinger, Coyle, and Wood. And, you know, look for Wood. Look for these guys to use Miles Wood and take advantage of his speed. Like, this guy's got the best speed in the NHL when it comes to straight ahead chasing pucks. And then Lundestrom, Gaunce in the middle with Chinnikov. And I thought he was flying last game, Chinnikov. Mm-hmm. So he's another player, when he is flying like he was, you'd like to see him get up on the lineup a little bit if there's no one that, you know, someone's struggling. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see him, him used as that kind of, someone's not going, flip him in there, flip him out. You know, he can Because when he is flying, boy, he can be a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. So pretty good shakeup there in what should be a fun one and a fun stretch. Four straight home games. Hopefully we get some results and this team can start to be rewarded for some of its play. Good stuff as always, buddy. And the lesson learned is if there is a snow day, go get a shovel.
Get a shovel out. Get to work. Clear those roads. Take care of your neighbors, you know?
That's right. See you, buddy.
All right. We'll see you, man. Thanks, bud.
All right. There it goes. A little bit of Shelly time for you on a Thursday. Three things. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Through trusted...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Jake Diebler's Buckeyes head to Rocket Arena in Cleveland for a battle with West Virginia.
Live fan coverage starts Saturday night at 7 with the tip at 8.
Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Feeling stuck on your...
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The friends are the guests and listeners.
Reza and Baker just work here.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, spent most of the day today talking about the chaos and the carnage at Michigan after the firing of Sharon Moore and what's next for them. Paul Feinbaum, Angelique Chingalis, among those who joined today. You can get those interviews on our social channels, on the YouTube stream. It's always there. And, of course, on the podcast as well, if you are interested. It's been a fluid morning, obviously, in regard to that. Your best guess right now, who's the head coach at Michigan in 2026?
Kenny Dillingham.
It sure seems like there's too much smoke not to be fire with Kalen DeBoer. I hope it's Brian Kelly, though.
I think I'm going to go Jed Fish. But I have it's taking my, it just, there's so much smoke with DeBoer. There's so much. And that would be a true clean break. Fish is a sort of clean break. Dillingham would be a true clean break for sure. Man, crazy. What are we on the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan Poll asks, do you enjoy seeing the Michigan football program sit in turmoil? 93% say yes. 6% say yes.
I believe there's no option. The German phrase for that is Schadenfreude.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure in others' misfortune. There's a great deal of it, I would say, in Central Ohio today.
How could you not with the way they hold their head up so high?
Absolutely.
All the time.
It's justified. All of it's justified. Every single bit of questioning, every single bit of in the shadows message board questioning and hypothesizing about what's been going on there since the Harbaugh regime was broken by Ohio State. Every single one of those things are all legitimate, and somebody does have to answer for them. Somebody has to. And I'm fascinated to see how it all plays out up there. But they are in ruins at the moment. There's no question about that. All right, time for three things on a Thursday. Hit it, guys.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars Rewards spot.
All right, number one for me. So get home from work and basketball and all this stuff last night, and good clean boy, Buddy Garrity, comes over and wants some petting and stuff. So I'm giving him his rub downs as he typically likes, and he really likes being scratched behind his ears. And as I was doing it last night, he whimpered. And I went, oh, well, we don't want that. I mean, usually you like this, bud. What's going on? So the wife took him to the vet today, and I don't know, $1,500 later, our guy's got a double ear infection. So now I didn't even know that this was, I mean, we had dogs my whole life. I'm sure they had 1,000 ear infections. We just didn't know about it. Just never took them to the vet. My wife goes, did your dad take the dogs to the vet? No, never. Not ever. We never did. They never did. They just lived. So anyway, he's gotten some treatment, and I'm happy to report that he seems to be doing better today. But a rough evening and an early morning for the Golden Retriever this morning.
Poor guy.
Poor fella.
And the double thing ear infection. With most dogs is they won't really give you an indication that something's up until like you hit it.
Yeah.
Hit that spot. You know, Odie, when sometimes he's got a lot of gunk build up in his ear, he'll like shake his head one way to the side. Mm-hmm. And so now I get hyper alert about that. Like every time he does, I just snatch him and I go right for the ear cleaning wipes. Cause yeah, I don't have $400 or $500 every time they got to clean those suckers out. An update from Dan Wetzel on the Sharon Moore alleged assault that took place yesterday. Shortly before it was announced he was dismissed by Michigan. County prosecutors tell ESPN no decision on charging Sharon Moore is expected today. He remains in custody. This from authorities, quote, the matter involving Mr. Moore remains under active investigation by law enforcement, and as a result, we do not expect charging decisions or an arraignment today. Mr. Moore remains in custody at the Washtenaw County Jail, end quote. And I just want everybody to remember that there's his wife and three kids involved in this as well, that their whole world just got turned upside down.
Mm-hmm. First thing for me, Bo, I don't always participate in a First Friday. I've always been a social drinker more than someone that would drink at home. But I did participate in a First Friday last night, and mm-hmm. my beverage of choice was the PX Double Oak that you picked and is going to be available from High Bank and the Fan tomorrow. And I will say, I think I forgot how good that was. Was a heck of a First Friday choice last night. And if you're on the fence of getting one of these, and if nothing else, get it for the bottle because it's really cool. Definitely go get these two picks because they are fantastic. Some of High Bank's best work.
Yeah, I cracked the a bottle last night of it. They'll be available Friday at the High Bank locations and then throughout Central Ohio and parts of Northeast Ohio next week. I cracked it last night as well. I'll make this my second thing. And I'm with you because we were all there for the tasting when we did that. That was the Friday of the Texas game, right?
Correct.
We did it. Yeah. And that was one that was, the PX was so unanimous. That was it. And man, I put it on a big rock and it opened up and it was just a delight. It was just an absolute delight. Good job out of them and quite frankly of us. Let's give us a little credit too. We picked a good one. Picked a couple of good ones. The cognac one's incredible too. I'm probably not tonight, but maybe Friday night I'll crack that.
And it is high test, so please drink responsibly.
Yeah, let it breathe a little bit too. It's not the worst thing to put a little ice in there and let it open up a little bit.
Or you could do as Eric did last night with that cognac blend, put it in some tea. That was a nice nightcap for me. Honey, tea, cognac, whiskey war.
You used to call that a depth charge.
Worked pretty. I feel great.
That's a night. I'll see you tomorrow, boys.
That is the new sleepy time
tea. I slept well, I'll just say.
I bet you did.
Tell you what.
Be careful with that, Reese. Be careful.
I saw Ross Bjork retweet this earlier today, and it was a story, I guess, that Fox 28 had done about Jaden Fielding being harassed online after missing a kick in the Big Ten championship game. Like, come on, people. If you are doing that, you are a special breed of person in not the right way. Just stop. There is way more important things in life than a football game. Quit harassing college kids over a game.
Finally, for me, as the roads start to get dicey here, and I had some roads last night that were a little dicey with kind of the wintry mix, and there was a semi-truck, tractor-trailer that passed me going about, I don't know, 175 miles an hour on the freeway, and about 3 miles later, it was jackknifed in the middle of the road. The exact truck that passed was jackknifed in the middle of the freeway having hit a car. Dude, chill out. Chill out. There's no reason to drive like that. Not everyone has that type of weight behind them, and certainly when you have that type of weight with tough conditions, it's really hard to stop. Just chill out a little bit. Take a little bit of the pressure off the gas pedal.
Final thing for me from the corrections department. I talked with T-Bone and Tyvis at the end of their program about the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl and how there was a Cheez-It Bowl and a Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, and that's not the case. The Cheez-It Bowl was by itself, but it is no longer played as of 2022, was the final game for that. The Citrus Bowl has been a long-time Tangerine Bowl, Citrus Bowl tradition. Mm-hmm. The Cheez-It owns the rights to, and so I think the winner of the Citrus Bowl, whether it's Biff Pogge or it's Steve Sarkisian, will have Cheez-Its dropped on them for the Citrus Bowl. So, ridiculous. You know.
I don't think Michigan's going to play in that.
College football.
Final thing for me, get some more on the Michigan and Sharon Moore stuff with Rothman and Ice coming up next. It's a Gold Jacket Thursday. They'll talk to Hall of Fame wide receiver Drew Pearson at 1:17. And then Bruce Feldman, probably talk on the Michigan things and all things college football at 2.
I'll leave you with this. This is from Justin Spiro. Michigan has had 11 staffers either arrested, 7, or banned from the sport for rules violations, 4, since Jim Harbaugh arrived. That's the legacy. That's it.
Squeaky right clean, though.
Yeah. Rothman and Ice coming up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The radio couldn't contain us, so we've taken over YouTube. Catch Morning Juice weekday mornings at 6 by searching 971 The Fan. Do it.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call